Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Next week on May 31st, I will be celebrating 5 years as host of this very talk radio podcast program. And many friends, acquaintances, and others have often asked me, Alan, over the last 5 years, what opinions have you expressed on your own show that provoked the highest degree of negative feedback or very harsh criticisms from your listeners, and more specifically, your female listeners? I always tell them that the number one episode I recorded that prompted the most angry and critical letters and email messages from female listeners was the open forum discussion episode I had on March 4th of 2010, which was entitled Sexual Soul Ties and Rethinking Premarital Promiscuity. During that discussion with listeners, I offered some very strong opinions that did not sit well with many of my female listeners. For example, one of the comments I made on that show was, if you're a woman who has a hard time with men referring to you as a hoe or a slut, then simply you need to stop exhibiting behavior that would attract the label or the criticism of being called a hoe and or a slut. I don't think I have to tell you that many women did not like that comment. Tonight, I am bold enough to reopen this controversial can of worms, and joining me as guest co-hosts this evening are the dynamic duo from another Blog Talk Radio show entitled Black Women Talk, and their names are Rhonda James and Renee Moore. And these two, along with myself, are going to match our very strong opinions against one another as Ms. James and Ms. Moore take time out of their schedule in order to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you,
do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode One! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
We'll be right back.
ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, May 24th, and oh man, tonight. You know how people sometimes when you're having certain conversations, and people say, why do you want to go there? Why do you want to go there? I'm going there. I'm going there even though I know I'm competing against the Miami Heat and Indiana Pacers game, which I got on in the background with no sound. For those of you who keep up with the NBA, right now the Miami Heat are leading at the end of the third quarter 79-69. They lead by 10 points. If the Miami Heat win, they'll wrap it up. They'll wrap up that series. Otherwise, it goes to the seventh game. But this is not a sports show. This is a show about dating and relationships. And as you heard in the intro, if I did one show over the last 5 years that resulted in me getting more angry, heated, harshly critical Facebook messages and emails and other types of feedback from people. Well, I shouldn't say people. I say specifically female listeners. Was a show I did. You can go back in my archives. I did a show on March 4th, which was actually the day after my birthday. My birthday is on March 3rd. Excuse me, March 3rd. I did a show on March 4th of 2010. So about a little over 2 years ago, I did a show called Sexual Soul Ties and Rethinking Premarital Promiscuity. And, yeah, it was an open forum discussion. I didn't have any particular guests. It was just kind of, yeah, open forum discussion like this pretty much is, this episode would be. And, yeah, I will say myself, I think on just about all my episodes, I tend to express a lot of strong opinions and a lot of blunt and very hardcore, truthful commentary. So it's very few episodes where I don't do that. But this episode particularly, I really said a lot of shit that got a lot of women riled up. One of my comments I remember I made on that show was, if you want men to quit calling you a hoe, quit acting like a hoe. You know, a lot of women always talk about men calling them a hoe and or a slut. But my attitude is, if you're stealing, people going to call you a thief. If you're killing people, people going to call you a murderer. If you're fucking a lot of men, people going to call you a hoe or a slut. Whether it's valid or not, whether it's truly warranted or not, that's just the reality of life. And that's what I try to lay out on my show. I try to stay away from what I call fluff advice. Advice that keeps people in a state of denial and delusion. You know, I try to be as real about shit related to dating relationships as I possibly can be. And see, this is one of those issues that a lot of women don't want to hear that. But on this particular show, back on March of 2010, yeah, I got into a zone where I just started breaking a lot of shit down. And I'm telling you, if I was to show you some of the emails I got and feedback, women, the number one word I heard that I was called, women were calling me judgmental. Women were saying that men, we promote a double standard, an unfair double standard. That we have no right to call women anything. And that's just unrealistic. I mean, come on. How many times do women call men dogs and whatnot if the man is, you know, got a girlfriend and he got a woman on the side? They say he's a dog, he's an asshole. See, I always tell women, what the difference between men and women? We get called a lot of labels, too. It's just that most men don't give a fuck. That's the problem. That's the difference. It's not that we don't get called names. It's that we don't respond to them with the same sensitivity that a lot of women do. Well, I would say it depends on what the label is. Like men, I tell you a label that men are very sensitive to is any label that challenges their manhood. So when you call a man a punk or a wimp
or a bitch, yeah, he's going to usually have a reaction because that has to do with his manhood. With women, it's more so things that has to do with their virtue. When you label them with anything that attacks their virtue, they're usually going to have a very sensitive reaction. But anyway, what the theme of this show tonight, and I'm opening my phone lines to my listeners because I don't have a particular guest, although I do have two guest co-hosts. I'm going to have two guest co-hosts tonight, and I'll introduce both of them a little bit later. They're from the show Black Women Talk. Black Women Talk, they airs on Blog Talk Radio. It airs usually on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. And they're going to be joining me, because that's actually what led to me doing this show, is that I was a guest on their show about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we spent probably the first two-thirds talking about my book and a lot of my philosophies and principles. And then towards the tail end of the show, the two co-hosts of that show, as well as one of my listeners and good friends, Alex, a.k.a. Don Calypso, who I want to issue congratulations to. He just had his wife had a baby daughter, and I know that has to be an ecstatic feeling for him. But yeah, he was on the show, and we got to talking. I forget how we segued into that, but somehow we got on the subject of women's sexual past and what, if anything, should a woman reveal about her sexual past to, say, a new boyfriend. And yeah, they had very strong opinions, and I want to say their opinions were pretty much contrary to my opinions. Here's my opinion. I'll start off laying out my opinion, and then we're going to move the conversation forward the rest of the evening. My opinion is this. I don't think you should ever necessarily volunteer any information about your sexual past. I don't think you should just come in on one random Wednesday at 6 o'clock after you get off from work and say, "Hey, honey, I just want to let you know, when I was in college, I once sucked 3 dicks of 3 different dudes in 1 week." You just don't say that type of shit. So, no, I don't believe that you should ever volunteer that type of information. But on the flip side, I do believe if a man specifically asks you, using that same example, let's say a man you start dating asks you, "Hey, honey, I got to ask you this question. Have you ever sucked more than one man's dick in the same week?" If you have, I think you should tell him you have. I think you should say, "Yes, I did. You know, yeah, when I was in college, I was very adventurous and experimental, and there was 1 week when I sucked 3 different dudes' dicks in the same week." I think you should tell him that if he asks you. Now, a lot of women, probably like 80 to 90% of women I know, they're like, "Hell no, I ain't admitting that shit. Are you crazy? I ain't going to admit that shit. I'm keeping that to myself," especially if it's something that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago or more. Most women are like, "I ain't going to bring that. I ain't going to admit to that shit." I think that's wrong. Now, of course, women disagree with me, and that's why we're having this conversation. I want to hear from a lot of women. I want to hear their opinions. I want to hear men's opinions tonight. But, yeah. Most women I talk to, they do not believe in admitting. But see, here's my thing again. If you had sex with other people, now if you did something that involves you and yourself, like masturbation, you can go to your grave with that information, because that involves you and your fingers, or you and your vibrator, or you and your dildo. Ain't nobody else involved, unless there was somebody being a voyeur and watching you. But when you have sex with somebody, that means that somebody has the potential to reveal that information to your companion, a friend of your companion, etc. I always say, this is what I tell my girlfriends, any woman I've ever been in a relationship with. If you're going to keep something to yourself, make sure what you keep to yourself is something that there's a 90 to 99% chance I'm not going to find out from a third party. Because if I find something else from a third party before I find it out from you, I'm not going to have a favorable reaction to that. That's just me. I'm not speaking for all guys. I'm telling you about Alan Roger Curry. I tell women whenever I enter into a relationship, if there's something like, say, quote unquote, controversial about their sexual past that has the potential to come out, they should tell me first. They should tell me first. Now, here's why I criticize men. Here's why I defend men, why I'm critical of men. If you're a man and you have fucked 200 women and you meet a woman and she tells you she fucked 100 different men and you like, oh, you hoe, you slut, then it's like, how dare you? Even I have to say, that's hypocritical. If you done fucked 200 women and you passing judgment on a woman for fucking 100 men, that's hypocritical. You need to just shut the fuck up. Now, I'm not saying you should feel obligated to date that woman. If you don't want to date that woman, don't date her. But you don't need to call her no names. You don't need to be calling her any names because you are a man whore. That's just like me. I have fucked my share of women in my life. So I try my best not to pass judgment on women that I'm dating if they tell me about their, you know, some numbers they have, because I know most of the women I dated, my number of female sex partners probably exceeds theirs. Now, here's where I'm defensive of men. If you're a man, let's say you're a man and you only had 3, 4, 5 sex partners in your life, and you're looking for the proverbial good girl, a woman who you feel like only has no more than 2 or 3 sex partners in life, you should be able to get that. You should be able to date a woman who fits your criteria. You shouldn't be dating a woman who's pretending like she's only had 2 or 3 sex partners when in reality she's had 1,500. See, and that's why I'm critical of women. Women should not be hiding shit and perpetrating, because that's like false advertising. If you're a vegetarian, you buy food, you do not want it to have meat in it. If it says on the package, no meat products, you take them on their word. You don't want to eat that food and find out later that it actually did have meat in it, do you? You don't want to buy some food that says sugar-free only to find out later on that it actually has traces of sugar or high fructose corn syrup, do you? Does anybody want to buy anything that says it doesn't have this, but it actually does? Same with dating relationships. If you're a man, you're a conservative man, you haven't had many sex partners, and you want a woman who's the same way, you don't want a woman who's advertising herself as this conservative good girl when in actuality she fucked the whole college basketball team. That's false advertising. I'm against that shit. I am against that shit. So I've already got this conversation rolling tonight, but let me get into my normal intro. I got a full slate coming up in the month of June. Well, next week, first of all, I'll start with next week. Next week, I am going to be celebrating 5 years on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. I will be on here for 5 years. My show started. My first show on Blog Talk Radio was on May 29th of 2007. So a week from tonight is May 31st. I'll be celebrating 5 years. Really, I always tell people, I'm not really celebrating being on Blog Talk Radio for 5 years. I mean, that's nice, but that's not really truthfully a great achievement. Because I'm going to be real. Anybody can be on Blog Talk Radio for 5 years. There's no great achievement to be on Blog Talk Radio, because anybody can get a show on Blog Talk Radio. What's the achievement part, at least that I feel, is having a highly listened to show for 5 years. Now, that I will say is an achievement, not only for me, but for any other host who's achieved that. I mean, my show for the last 5 years, I'd probably say at least 80% of my episodes have been ranked in the top 2, top 3 in their respective category. So my episode was in the category of romance, which is what most of my episodes are categorized as. I've usually had either the number one show for the week, or if not the number one show, no lower than the number two or number three show. And that's for the last 5 years. Some of my episodes have fallen in the category of books. Some of my episodes have fallen in the category of self-help and a couple other categories. But that's what I'm excited about, is not just simply having a show on Blog Talk Radio for 5 years, but having a top-ranked, highly rated, highly listened-to show
for 5 years. Because honestly, if I say so myself, not a lot of hosts have been able to achieve that. I say only about, honestly, about 5 to 10% of the hosts on Blog Talk Radio have had a highly listened to show for 3 or more years. I've seen so many hosts come and go on Blog Talk Radio. I know people who were popular personalities on broadcast radio. I'm not going to say any names, but I know of at least 8 to 10 people who came to Blog Talk Radio who were popular names on, you know, like a Chicago broadcast radio or Los Angeles broadcast radio or New York broadcast radio, and they didn't have listeners on Blog Talk Radio. They did not have listeners. And see, that's the thing about Blog Talk Radio. You have to build your own audience. See, like, if I get hired by, say, some broadcast radio station in New York or Chicago, L.A., I'm pretty much going to have a built-in audience. I don't necessarily have to build that audience myself. The station, their job is to build that audience. I built this audience from scratch, and I love all of my listeners. I love all of my listeners, and I have particular love for my chat room listeners, and a lot of them are in the chat room right now. I got my most loyal listener, Adrienne. I've known her since 1997. She's a dear friend of mine, even though she talks a lot of shit when it comes to sports. Man, I ain't never met a woman that talks more shit like a dude. You know, like, you ever met a woman that talks shit like a dude? Most of my male friends, she talks shit like a dude when it comes to sports. She'd be like, man, my Miami Heat gonna kick your Bulls ass. I'd be like, shut the fuck up. But no, I love her to death. But yeah, she can talk some shit. I'm telling all you guys, Adrienne can talk shit with any motherfucking dude on the planet Earth when it comes to sports. And so she's in the chat room as Diva362636. I got Apple Capital Group. I got my guest co-host for the night. I see them in the chat room, Black Women Talk. I got Brazilian Dude. I got Claudio Robello. I got my younger cousin from Detroit, Michigan, Christopher Curry, a.k.a. Hype Style. I got Mystico, one of my loyal listeners in the chat room. I got my main man, Alvin Ollinger. We call him Purpose One. He's in the chat room. He's one of the brothers. There's a select brothers that I know on Facebook. I haven't met him in real life, but there's always been a number of brothers I interact with that I call critical thinkers. Not everybody is a critical thinker, but there's a group of guys I tend to interact with either regularly or semi-regularly that are what I consider critical thinkers, and Purpose One falls into that category. I got Val Macedon in my chat room, and I got a number of guests in my chat room. I got other shout-outs would be my older brother and Ace Confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, that's my older. People was tripping today because a friend of mine from high school gave me some pictures from when we was in, like, high school and early college. And I posted them on my Facebook page, and they was tripping because there's one picture with my older brother. He's dressed up as Prince. And, yeah, a lot of people was freaking out, and yeah, I got a picture from when I was like a junior or senior in high school. It brought back a lot of memories, actually. Another good friend, Philip Pulliam, and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III, EVP3. Yes, the lovely Alexandra Atkins. Alex, what's up with you, Alex? All the lovely ladies in my female supporters group on Facebook, I got about 375 women that support me in my books and this show, and I appreciate them. And yes, indeed. So I'm going to take an intermission break, and when I get back, I'm going to get this. I already got the conversation rolling, but now I'm going to bring in some contrary opinions. I expressed a lot of my opinions, and now I'm going to hear the opinions from the women. I'm going to have two women. I'm going to start off with one, and then just a little bit later, I'm going to bring in a second one. And I want you listeners to call in. Again, if you're just tuning in, here's the topic tonight. What, if anything, what details, if any, should a woman share with a new boyfriend about her sexual past? What details, if any, should a woman share with a new boyfriend about her sexual past? I will be right back in about 5 minutes or so. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Over the last 5 years, I've had the number one talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance, dating, and relationships. And if you're just tuning into this episode, oh, this is going to be a hot one. I don't know for sure. Sometimes I predict shows are going to be a hot one, and they're not. Then other times I predict that they won't be a hot one, and they are. But I did a similar show. I've already mentioned this, in early March of 2010, called Sexual Soul Ties and Premarital Promiscuity. And, man, it had women riled up because I expressed a lot of strong opinions about women's sexual behavior. And without getting too much detail, again, I'm going to reiterate my opinion, and then I'm going to bring in my guest co-host and let her express a lot of her opinions. Here's my thing. A lot of women have told me that they will either hide details about their sexual past from a new boyfriend, or even worse, they'll lie about them. I think that is wrong. That's my opinion. I think that's wrong. I think anytime you're in a serious relationship, not a casual, I ain't talking about no weekend fling. Now, if you're talking about one-night stand, weekend fling, and some other casual relationship, then, yeah, I'm in agreement. You should keep your sexual past to your damn self. That ain't nobody's business if y'all just kicking in and fucking around. But I'm talking about when you're in a relationship that has a potential, say, to lead to marriage, or that has a potential to lead to y'all living together, I think you should be an open fucking book. An open book. That's how I am with all my ex-girlfriends. I've had women actually criticize me for telling them too much information about myself. I don't hide shit. I don't hide jack shit when it comes to stuff out, kinky, freaky shit I've done in the past. And I think women should be the same way. I think women should be an open book. But as I said, probably I'd estimate at least 2/3 to 3/4 of women I've had this conversation with, they do not agree with me. So right now, to give a offer, more than likely a contrary opinion, is a woman I met through Blog Talk Radio. She's very intelligent, very articulate, very charismatic, and she's the co-host of a show right here on Blog Talk Radio entitled Black Women Talk. And this conversation actually kind of technically started on her show. She was nice enough to interview me about my books on her show a couple weekends ago, and towards the end of that episode, me and my good friend Alex, a.k.a. Don Calypso, we got into a discussion about women revealing details about their sexual past, and it got kind of fiery. It was a very spirited debate. So I'm going to introduce to you, listeners, give it up for Miss Renee Moore. And where's my listeners? Why y'all not? What's up, Renee?
Hey, Alvin, how are you?
I am just dandy. Well, first, before we get into this juicy discussion / debate, why don't you tell my listening audience just maybe a minute or two worth of information about yourself. How did you, like, for example, how did you find Blog Talk Radio?
I was using Blog Talk Radio in 2009 for my business. So I started out using it to connect with my clients online and to give them another avenue to hear what it is that I do, give them an opportunity to do a Q&A session.
Okay.
That's how I was using it originally. And then last year, I believe it was, Rhonda and I started Black Women Talk. She wanted to have a forum where Black women could come together and just talk about all the things. It wasn't supposed to be a relationship show. That was not the intent of the show. But somehow it became that, and we actually joke about it. We call it Black Women Talk to Black Men, because that's all that ever calls in on our show are black men. In the year or so we've been doing it, we've only had 5 women call into our show. So black women
that's interesting.
Talking. Yeah, they actually aren't talking. We're just talking.
So black women talk is talking to nothing but brothers.
Black men.
Sisters,
yeah.
Ain't that something? See? sisters always talking about, man, y'all men running y'all mouth. We want to hear an opinion that represents us. And then y'all, they ain't even listening. See, sisters, that's foul. Now, I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, and if you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to, but a little birdie told me that you and your co-host are going on an indefinite sabbatical, but I thought you guys just came off of an indefinite sabbatical.
We did just come off of an indefinite sabbatical, and Saturday morning is you know, that time when we have other stuff to do. And we're trying to, I don't know if we're going to move it around. I don't know right now. But right now we're taking a break, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I actually
found out about your show when you came and listened to one of my episodes, actually. That's when I first found out. I kind of vaguely remember Alex, he had told me about you guys a while back. But I think you guys got a good show. But then again, I'm feeling you specifically on the whole time schedule thing. I would never, ever, ever do a show on Saturday. I can tell you that right now. I do too much traveling and just other shit. And that, yeah, I always told people this, 3 to 4 days, I would never do a show. Friday, that's not good for me. Saturday, Sunday, and more than likely Monday. Mine would have to be on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Matter of fact, when I first started out, I did two shows. I used to do a Tuesday afternoon and a Thursday night show. And then starting with about a month into doing shows, I just strictly been on Thursday night. But, yeah, if that's one of the major factors, I'm feeling you. I could not do a show on Saturday morning.
We tried Sunday night, but I mean, the reality is I run a business. Rhonda works during the day. She has a bit of a commute, and so the weekdays were pretty much out for us. So the weekend was it. And Saturday morning was okay at first, and then we moved it to Sunday night because of something. We moved it to Sunday night for some sporting event or something. We moved it to Sunday night, and I think I like Saturday morning better. But yeah, we're just taking a break right now. It's summer. I want to go kayaking.
Okay. All right. Well, first I want to let my listeners know, because this is what I call an open forum discussion, and even though me and Renee and I are going to have a lot of conversation between us, I want to hear from my listeners. So if you have a question to ask or a comment to express, and I want to hear some strong opinions with this particular topic, that's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear no fluff shit. If you call in, I want you to say some shit that's going to make people go, damn, I don't believe he said that. Or I don't believe she said that. That's the type of shit I like to hear. Is when people call in my show and they like, damn. When you call in, press the number 1. That lets me know that you're not just listening and that you actually have something to say. So when you call in, press the number 1 on your dial. That lets me know. Because otherwise I will assume that you're just in my phone queue chilling. Because a lot of people will call in and just listen to the show. They don't really want to ask a question or make a comment. But when you press the number 1, Beach Blog Talk Radio gives me like a little signal that lets me know that you have something to say. Now, Renee, I'm sure if you were listening at the beginning, you heard a lot of my strong comments on this subject. Let me start by asking, what are your general feelings about the idea of a woman sharing details about her sexual past with a new boyfriend?
My general feeling is that nothing, and I do mean nothing, comes of knowing about your sexual past. The only time I think you should say something is if you have a disease that could be transferred or transmitted to someone, and if there's some children involved. Outside of that, I truly don't want to know if you've had a threesome or a foursome, an orgy, you're a swinger. There's really nothing I can do with that information. If you tell me you slept with 300 women, only thing I can do with that is judge you. And it definitely works that way for women. I'm not saying you should lie. I'm saying it doesn't need to be told. If there's something specific that you want to know from that information, like if you want to know, do I have a disease, you need to ask me, do I have a disease? But to ask me how many men I've slept with, what can you do with that information except judge me? What are you going to do with it?
Okay. You asking me? As a man?
It's a rhetorical question. I don't see what you can do with that information. If I tell you about something in my past that happened, what can you do with that information?
Well, here's the deal. I don't know if you heard all my commentary at the beginning. I'll say this. The simple answer would be, I want to know that information so I can judge you.
Just I know, and that's why women wouldn't tell you.
That's fucked up, though.
Display hoe-like tendencies. If you don't want to be called a hoe, don't display hoe-like tendencies. For some men, that's sleeping with 4 guys. For some men, it's sleeping with 40. But whatever it is, you're judging me. Why would I tell you that information?
But my attitude is you should let a man judge you. You should let a man judge you. It's his right to judge you. Now, I said at the beginning, if say I'm a guy and I've slept with 250 women in my life, and you tell me you've slept with 150, in that scenario, I admit, I don't have a right to judge you. Now, I'm not saying no men won't do it. I've known men who still will judge you, but you really don't have a right. That's hypocritical for me to label you. Now, it's not. I don't think there's anything wrong for me to say because you slept with 150 men, I now do not want to date you. That's my choice. That's my choice as a man. I could say because you wear yellow blouses every day, I don't want to date you. And you might say, that's fucked up that he don't want to date me because I wear yellow blouses every day. If that's my choice, that's my choice. But if I'm in a situation where, say, I have only slept with 5 women in my life and I'm looking for a woman that, say, has only slept with maybe 3 to 5 guys in her life, and you give me the impression that you've only slept with, say, a handful of guys, only for me 6 months later, 12 months later to find out that you slept with 150 guys, I think that's fucked up because you misled me, especially if I asked you. Now, if I never asked you, to me, I don't feel like it was any onus on you to tell me. But if I ask you, you know, say you and I start dating, I say, hey, Renee, if you had to give me a rough number, how many men would you say you slept with from the age of 16 to now? And you say, I would say a handful. Knowing you slept with 150 men, that's blatant false advertising, and I think that's wrong. But in your defense, I know a lot of women who feel like you. Go ahead.
But why do you need to? Why would you ask someone that question? What are you trying to find out? Maybe that's the question.
Okay, here's the deal. This relates to my other show when I get women riled up. A lot of times, women. This is what frustrates me about women. Women will say, Alan, what advice can you give me that will help me out with men, help me better understand men? And then I will give them advice that's as real, if I say so myself, as real as it can get. I would argue that there's not too many dating relationship experts out here who give more real advice than I do. And then when you give it to them on the real, over half the time they can't handle it. It's like that old saying from A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. A lot of women will say, oh, damn, why you got to put it like that or why you got to say it like that? They can't handle it. And I'm like, well, shit, you asked me, and on this issue, I'm going to tell you the deal. Men are very egotistically competitive. That's why they love sports. Men are egotistically competitive. And it's like this with men. Here's the deal with men. I see you, Alex, in my phone queue. I'm going to get to you in just a second. Let me make a couple points, then I'm going to get to you. Here's the deal with men. Let's say I'm putting myself, I'm now describing myself as an egotistically competitive man, and I meet you, Renee, and you tell me that I can't fuck you until 3 months into the relationship. And I'm like, okay. But then I find out a few weeks later that, you know, Tyrone, sexy Tyrone, you know, with all the muscles and shit, he fucked you like 2 or 3 days after he met you. My competitive ego is going to be like, man, that's some bullshit. She making me wait 6 weeks, but this motherfucker fucked her in 2 or 3 days? Oh, fuck that. Now, the average woman would say, oh, well, why, it shouldn't matter. I make my choices. Some guys I sleep with quick, some guys I sleep. And they might be right in saying that. But I'm telling you, on the real, as a man, I'm letting you know how men think. A lot of men, I ain't going to say all. I try never to say all men. But a good number of men, particularly the ones who are egotistically competitive, their attitude is, that's why some men will ask women, like, okay, like, what's the quickest you slept with a man? Because the attitude is, if they know another guy got the pussy in 2 weeks, then they want it in a week and a half. If they know another guy got the pussy within 3 days, they want it in 2 days. They don't want to be the motherfucker who had to wait when there was other guys who got the pussy real quick. That's how guys, now, most guys, they would never publicly admit that, say, on a show like this. But if you were a fly on the wall and you were hearing brothers, or not just brothers, but white dudes too, guys talk among guys, that's the type of shit they will say. They'll be like, oh, man, you know, I was dating this one chick, but then I found out JoJo, man, he fucked her like, you know, a week after he met her. Man, I ain't gonna be dating her now. Or if they might not say, I'm not going to date her no more, but they'll be like, I ain't going to wait no more. They're going to be like, shit, she got to give up the pussy to me now. Shit, she didn't make this other motherfucker wait. Why is she making me wait? So that's one of the reasons why guys will want to know things like how quickly. As far as numbers, now, speaking for myself, I rarely ask numbers myself. That's just me. I don't really care, but I don't think I've ever asked a woman, like, hey, how many guys? I don't give a fuck. But there are guys who do. And that's real talk that women need to know. There are men who care about numbers. For the reason I said is that there's some guys who haven't slept with a lot of women. Some guys who have, but there's other guys who haven't. And most guys I know who haven't slept with a lot of women, they don't want to date a woman who slept with more men than they've slept with women. I know a lot of men who told me that over the years. If a man has slept with 10 women, they don't want a woman date a woman who slept with 30 men. If a man has slept with 50 women, they don't want to date a woman who slept with 100 men. That's just how they are. Now, people can say, oh, that's not right. That's unfair that they would judge me like that. And to one degree or another, it probably is. But, again, I always say it's that man's choice. And what I always give advice to women, and then I'm going to take calls and shut up, is that why would you want to be with a guy who has the potential to pass judgment? This is the part, more than anything, I don't get. Women say, well, I don't want to tell a guy information about my sexual past because he might judge me. If I was a woman, that would be all the more reason why I would want to tell him. So, because if he does have judgmental tendencies, I would want to know that up front. Because if he ain't judge you in the early stages, trust me, at some point down the line, if he find out from a third party some shit, he going to judge you. Believe you me, he's going to judge you. And that's where I've seen it blow up in women's faces. I always tell women, if you're going to hide something or lie about something, make sure it's something that there's a 99% chance it ain't going to be revealed by a third party. Because if, say, you had, Renee, I'm using an example, let's say you had a threesome with two guys in college and you don't want to share that. You say, I'm going to keep that to myself. How do you know them two guys you had a threesome with going to keep it to themselves? They might be at a party with your new boyfriend. They'd be like, hey, dude, you dating Renee over there? He says, yeah. And they start snickering. And he's like, why y'all snickering? And first they're like, oh, nothing. He's like, no, why, what's up? He's like, okay, bro, I'm going to tell you on the real. Man, your girl Renee, man, me and my boy JoJo here, man, we had a threesome with her in college, man. We used to have threesomes like on a weekly basis with her, dude. And then if your new boyfriend, if that's his first time hearing that shit and he didn't hear from you first, I can almost guarantee you, bet you money, that's going to fuck him up. That's going to mess with his head. He's going to be like, what? 215, I know who this is. My main man, Alex, who just had a new baby girl. Alex, congratulations,
thank you,
man, on being a new dad.
Thank you, and she's listening, so you guys better not be lying and stuff, because, you know, you don't want to lie to a baby.
Now, Alex,
but,
you know, you was kind of an instigator for this when I was on Renee's show. I want to say you probably got this segue started. So you heard my viewpoints. You heard Renee speak on her behalf. What's your general thoughts about a woman sharing details about her sexual past?
Well, okay, first of all, let's set one record straight. It was because of me. I got Renee hip to your show, and, yeah, I had mentioned their show to you. So, you know, you guys got to know, the Haitian Abomination is the one that made this possible here today.
Oh, I agree with that, man. Matter of
okay,
fact, I want to tell my listening audience real quick, if there's one person associated with Blog Talk Radio that promotes Blog Talk Radio, I actually think Alan Levy, the CEO of Blog Talk Radio, should be cutting this brother a check every week, because Alex promotes the shit out of people's shows, particularly shows with African-American hosts. He does that just on his own love for the shows he likes, and he promotes, he's helped promote my show and probably like 25 other shows on Blog Talk Radio. So, dude, I give you major props in that area, man.
You
help me spread the word on my show.
I don't just promote the good stuff. I also expose people who would do bullshit. I expose them. I want others to know so they can make their own judgment, but that's all. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah,
now,
that's another three-hour show.
But
yeah, on the subject of women choosing to share or choosing not to share details about their sexual past, what's your thoughts? Where do you stand?
This is my view. As far as the details, okay, like you said, you shouldn't be asking for numbers and stuff, but if someone... And that goes both ways. If one partner asks, the other should answer truthfully, because you're right. You know, it may not be fair, but you get judged by others. The question is, you want the person who will still accept you in spite of knowing the deal. And yeah, that may mean that, you know, out of 100,000 people, 99,999 reject you, but all you need is that one person, that there's a mutual attraction, you both like each other, and they're accepting you just like you accept them. And frankly, I think by people lying or concealing, you're denying your partner the right to make an informed decision, which is, you guys know I work in the field of research. That's the basis of research, especially biomedical, informed consent. So I say you should let them know. If they're going to judge you, better you find out right away and let them go. Then you build a relationship and everything that you conceal stuff, and 10 years down the road, the stuff comes out. And then you act surprised that they leave you, you know, even though you may have built a whole 10 years and stuff, but in a way it was built on a lie, because they did not go into it knowing full well, okay, this is the past my partner had, but I still accept her or him as is.
Yeah.
When the relationship with that kind of thing, sexual past, it's like that as is section at IKEA where they got some furniture that's maybe slightly damaged, you get a discount price. You buy it as is. So you have to inspect it thoroughly to see, can you accept the defects, because there's no returns whatsoever. Same thing it should be with relationships. I know it's not fair, it's a double standard, but then again, just like guys judge women unfairly if they had a high number, women judge guys unfairly if they've had a low body count. We're being told all the time, well, you should keep it in your pants and stuff, but when you keep it in your pants, the first thing they say, anytime they want to diss you, oh, you must not be getting any panati. So, but that's another whole 3-hour show. And on that note, I'm gonna mute myself, because you can probably hear the little girl hiccuping now. So I gotta go birth a baby.
All right, brother. I appreciate you calling in, man. Again, if you call into the show, I see a lot of numbers in my phone queue, so I know I'm getting people riled up, or Renee getting people riled up. Please press the number one. So I know you want to talk. Now, Renee, do you have any feedback for, first of all, what I said before I let Alex express his opinions or something Alex said?
Well, I still stand by my opinion. I mean, and actually you guys have just reinforced it because you just said it's a double standard. And so I still don't see why a woman would tell you any of that information up front. I don't see why. I don't know what you're looking for. If you are trying to find out if I have a communicable disease, then that's what you should ask me. If you're trying to find out if I can have children, and that's your way around, if I ask you if I've had an abortion, you should just ask that question. But some of that stuff in the background, I really don't understand why you need to know that. Men can say all those things because you aren't judged that same way. You aren't. You just aren't. And so, and like you said earlier, those titles and names don't stick on you. They stick with us. No woman in her right mind is going to go around telling you those things that she's done in the past knowing that you're going to judge her. And you just said in the beginning, I have a right to judge you. Why in the world would I tell you that? So why would I tell you that?
So are you saying I don't have a right to judge you?
I'm saying that is why women don't tell those things, because they don't want to be judged. And black men, I'm sorry, you guys judge harshly.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, because I've heard a lot of women say this, and I take, because trust me, in my career as a book author and a dating coach, I talk to men of various ethnicities in various countries. I talk to guys in up to 20 different countries. Trust me when I say this. This is not a American thing, and it's definitely not a black thing. I know white men. I know men in London. I know men in Brazil. I know men in Paris. This is universal.
Then
what
why
I'm talking
you
about tonight
what,
is
why
universal.
Are you asking? Why are you asking? Because I date men from all over the world. The only people who ever ask those questions are black men. And I'm like, why do you want to know that?
Well, you must have some limited interactions. Because I could take you, and I probably will in the upcoming weeks, because you're loosely familiar with what's known as the seduction community. I can take you on message boards where I guarantee you that this is talked about by men who are not black and not even American.
So why are you asking? So what are you really trying
to
find out?
I'll explain to you why a lot of men ask. And I'll not sit going
to
say all
men. Is it a reason to get out of dating? I mean, are you looking for a reason to not date the woman? What are you looking for?
There's various reasons. Let me preface it by saying there's no one reason for every man. I would be saying some invalid shit if I was to suggest that there's one reason that represents all men. Some men, it might be disease-oriented, like you alluded to. Some men, that might be their reason. They want to see just simply, have you had syphilis or gonorrhea before? Some men, they want to know if you've gotten pregnant and had an abortion before. That's their angle. Some men, but as far as the guys who do want to know numbers, usually the guys I know who want to know numbers, they want to know because they want to know if you've slept with more men than they have women. And a lot of guys, I'm telling you, a lot of guys do not want to be in a long-term relationship with a woman who slept with more men than they have women. I'm going to go with 832-832. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your first name?
What's up, AIC, man? This is Alvin Hollinger III, Urban Warren.
Urban Warren! What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Always enjoying our interactions, whether it be on Blog Talk or on Facebook.
Likewise, man. Likewise, brother. So I know you're a man who has your own set of strong opinions. What's your thought on this whole subject of women sharing or not sharing details about their sexual past?
I mean, always is honesty is the best policy. My whole thing is, there's many motivations why men want to get a picture of a woman's sexual history. Sometimes, yes, it's very detailed. How many numbers? What acts did you do? But the truth is, the core question behind it all is they're trying to figure out the mentality of the woman, the sexual mentality of the woman, which can change over time. Maybe, you know, earlier in her life, she was, you know, more promiscuous-minded, you know, casual sex, not unemotionally attached. You know, she had some change at some point. But those questions are still asked because you want to know of her propensity or her ability. You know, when she's sexual, is she, you know, sexual in a broad, you know, unemotionally attached way? And that may be good or bad depending on what you're looking for. Or is she the opposite way? Is she, you know, is she more emotionally attached? My questions have evolved over time. When I didn't have much sexual, you guys still there? Still there?
Oh yeah, I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When I was less sexually inexperienced, or almost, you know, or a virgin, of course I would ask the numbers question. A lot of that motivation was, you know, a certain sense of, you know, would I be sexually compatible? Would I, you know, the fear of not, you know, being played or being, you know, rejected because I wasn't sexually, you know, experienced. But it moved less from the question about the numbers to a more distinct question. Of course, yeah, you ask about the STDs and some, you know, I ask about, you know, abortions and stuff like that because that's medical. You know, that can really affect you down the road. But my main question now is, how do you feel you best express your sexuality? Can that sexuality be satisfied with one person over long term, or are you, you know, do you feel the need that you need to be sexually satisfied by having flexibility to have other partners and stuff like that? Because I know what my sexual needs and desires are and how I need them to be fulfilled. And it's just one of the things that you have to be more on the page than not on the page, or else somebody's going to get their feelings hurt.
Really. I agree with that.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah.
I actually like those. Those questions are fine. I think those are fine. But the other thing, or I should say, and the other thing is, you also have to consider the chemistry, the attraction between those two people. Just because I may have been frigid or unresponsive or whatever with somebody else in the past doesn't mean I'm going to be that way with you. Maybe there was some other things going on in that relationship that may be less attracted to this person sexually. And that happens too for women, because it's not just a physical act for most women. There's also some emotion attached to it. So I might get with you, and you might bring stuff out of me that I didn't even know was there, that I never had with that other person, because maybe that other person didn't like to sexually experiment. So to me, it's hard to judge all of that when you ask that question, because I don't know necessarily how I'm going to be with you. I could get in the bed with you and be like, oh, my God, I've never done this before. You don't know until you actually do it.
Very, very true. However, because sex, you know, sexual connection and chemistry and all those things are just, they're so abstract. Sometimes the only information that you get is the stuff that you get from those questions. And you may make a judgment that's way off base. But if you're willing, as a person asking that question, to accept that you could be dead wrong about it and still live, then you're good. Another, I think a pervasive lie in our society is that there's a certain special segment of people who just don't judge. We all judge. We all judge on some type of level. Like, for instance, the equivalent, in my opinion, to a woman's sexual past history is two things in a man, from a man's history point of view. Usually his financial responsibility. Most women want to know that, you know, can dude take care of himself at least? You know, does he have his own place, his own ride? You know, how about his credit and all that stuff? Because that can really, you know, impact you down the road. You know, you get with this dude, you know, maybe a sweet guy, but he pisses away your money and his. But the other thing back in the sexual realm is if the man has had some homosexual sexual history, consensual homosexual history.
Now, see, P1, if you don't mind me interjecting here, this is a question, Renee, I think I mentioned this on your show. This is a question that trips a lot of my female friends and acquaintances up, because a lot of women will say, oh, I don't need to tell man nothing. I'm keep my stuff to myself. But one of the questions I ask them, a hypothetical question, I say, okay, what if you met a man and he was dating him, and say there was a 5-year period in his past where he was engaging in down-low bisexual activity, but he felt like he transitioned out of that, so he didn't feel a need to tell you because he felt like that's a chapter that's been closed. But let's say you found out from one of his male friends or one of his female friends or somebody else, would you be cool with the fact that he kept that to himself, or would you flip out? And over 90% of the time, the women would be like, oh, shit, of course I'd flip out. Shit, I'd curse his ass out, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute now. Why are you tripping over the fact that he kept that to himself, but you saying it's okay to keep shit to yourself? Oh, well, it's different than if he was fucking just women. I mean, him fucking, I'm like, that's bullshit. That's his sexual past. If there was a 5-year period where he was fucking other dudes in the ass, that's his business. Why you need to know that?
It's true.
But I didn't ask the question. Somebody told me. You're asking for that sexual history. I'm not asking for the sexual history. That's what the show's about, right?
I'm asking you, Renee. Let's say you didn't ask for that information, but let's say one of this guy, you dealing with a guy named Roscoe and his friend Glenn told you, yeah, Renee, I got to tell you a quiet tip that, you know, Roscoe, yeah, he was bisexual for about 3, 4, 5 years. Would you be, like, cool with that he didn't tell you that shit? Or would that piss you off that he didn't tell that to you?
It wouldn't piss me off that he didn't tell me, but that doesn't mean that I would continue dating either. I don't know. I can't say
go.
I'd be pissed about
there
it.
Hey, I think basically what she's saying is that she finds some information like that her ass gonna get ghost, disappear. He gonna be wondering why.
But that's what you all are doing. If you find out something about me, you're saying you're gonna leave. So what's the difference? The difference is I'm not gonna ask. I'm not asking that. I want to know if you have any children.
The fact that you're not asking, you're pretty much admitting that if you found that information out, you might not go off on them, you might not curse them out, but you pretty much just suggested that 90% chance you're going to be gone. You ain't going to date them no more. And that's why, like Alex said, it's about informed consent. I want to know as much about a woman so I can make my own informed decision whether or not I want to choose to continue dating her or not. But I do not want her hiding something from me that if I found out from a third party, it's going to fuck me up. That's my biggest thing more than anything.
Yeah.
And I'm just talking for me now. I'm not talking about all guys. But for me.
But that is the reason why people hide it, is because they know that someone's going to judge them and they'll end up losing the very person that they have
but
fallen in love with.
Just
and they want to
down.
Be with.
Number one, we all, to one degree or another, all of us judge.
I agree. I've never met a person that's
0% judgment. If you're not judgmental in regards, say, to sex, then you're judgmental in regards to money or something else. I know women, for example, that are, well, I don't know if judgmental would be the right word for this. I was going to say about a man's dick size. They'd be like, shit, if a man ain't working with, you know, at least 8 or 9 inches, I ain't got shit to do with him. I mean, shit. So a nigga try to hide the fact for the longest that he'd tell you he got a big dick. As long as y'all ain't fucking, and then y'all start fucking, you're like, oh, shit, where that 4-inch dick come from? So,
I've had women ask me about my dick size as they would talk to me and know me. So, yeah, it's true. Very true. The other thing I wanted to say, like, one of the big things with me, in a hypothetical world, if I was still dating again, because I'm engaged now.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. I think I knew that already, but anyway, congratulations.
Yeah, but if I were dating again, one of the great areas that's always been challenging with me is that when you're dating somebody, yes, there are no obligations. I'm not the kind of person that has casual sex. If I'm having sex with you, we either on the verge of getting into a relationship or we are in a relationship. That's just my comfort zone with it. But, you know, when you're dating people and you're getting to know them, you don't know what their current situation is. So I think a very valid question may be, you know, if I've made my intentions that I'm looking for a serious relationship, is if the and that I'm not, you know, just having sex with anybody, is, you know, what are their situations? Do you currently have, you know, some jump offs that you just, you know, use the for maintenance purposes, or are you in some on again, off again situation with a homie lover friend? Those homie lover friends are very common. They're like the people that you have a lot of chemistry with, but for some reason y'all can't quite get together, so they just kind of hang around, you know, through, you know, your relationships with other people, and when you break up, they fall back into place and all that stuff. Those are very chemistry-driven relationships. And if that homie lover friend, in my mind, if that homie lover friend has a big ego, you know, a mental ego, I'm not talking, you know, euphemism for a big dick or anything like that. If they have a big ego, when you do get with somebody that seems to threaten the connection that they had, they may try to sabotage the situation. And so that's one of the big things with me. What are your emotional ties to other people currently at the time? And a lot of people feel that they can have these casual situations while they're dating people, you know, oh, I got my, you know, stand up, you know, for lack of a better term, nice guy right here. But then I got my guy that come in and beat it up. But he ain't working.
Now, you
else.
Know, P1, I just wrote an article that's related to that concept you're talking about.
And, you know, and the woman feels in her mind that she can actually just drop this dude once the relationship becomes serious with the nice guy, but sometimes it don't pan out like that. You know,
that's okay. See, you talking real talk, and a lot of women, they know you telling the truth, and when I talk about it, that I'm telling the truth. I've seen that scenario happen a lot. There's a lot of women, good number of women, not all women, but a good number of women. This is what they want. This is the scenario they want. They want that nice guy who's going to always be there. Pretty much, I call him the shelf guy. That guy that they know, even if they leave him on the shelf, he ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Then they fuck around, as Alex would say, with Dayquil and I forget his nickname. He got some funny nicknames. But basically, guys that they know they wouldn't date, but they love fucking the dude. And then they want to come back to the nice guy because they know, again, they know he ain't going nowhere. But what's happening in the 21st century, and I've written about it in a couple of my articles, is that these shelf guys are having their eyes awakened. A lot of them now, they know what's up. They know what's up. There's a lot of information out there with the internet. They know they're getting played. But I've seen women, literally with my own eyes, play dudes like that. They'll have little Frank, who they know is their dependable nice guy. And they like, yeah, he ain't going nowhere, but damn, Tyrone, shit, I got to let him hit it from the back real good when he come in town from Chicago. And then, that other dude, Darren, man, shoot, he be really dicking me down when he come from L.A. And, you know, but you brought up a good point. And actually, after this, P1, I got to move on because I got a number of callers I see in my phone queue.
Yeah,
One of y'all can go ahead.
Okay. My question is, at what point are you asking the woman these questions after you've already slept with her, or is this before you slept with her?
This is before, because for me, you know, sex makes things much more deeper and complex, because I'm not one of those guys that can just, you know, smash and go.
Alan, when are you asking these questions?
Honestly, I've done it both. More often than not, if you're talking about a serious relationship, well, number one, in casual, I don't really ask. When I'm in a casual relationship, I will ask questions. I just want to know what your level of freakiness is. And I think P1 was talking about that earlier, or somebody else was. Sometimes I'll ask questions not because I'm looking, say, to judge you or whatever. I want to know what I'm dealing with. Like, I like to know, for example, if a woman ain't into sucking dick, I want to know that from the get-go. So I will ask a woman, like, ooh, do you love sucking dick? Like, your last few boyfriends, did you suck the dick real good? And they say, oh, hell no, I don't allow no dick to go in my mouth. I'm like, okay, I'm not fucking with her. but serious relationship, I usually, and there's probably been a few exceptions, but my most pertinent questions that I want to know the answers to, I usually ask them before I have sex with that woman, because I want to know... I want to know what I'm dealing with. Again, for me personally, I rarely ask a number question. I can't even think of a time.
So you're telling me that you've gone into a serious relationship, or you're going into a serious relationship with a woman, and you have not had sex with her first?
Oh, yeah, there's been both.
Okay.
I can name women that I've had sex with, say, on the first date, and we ended up having a relationship, and we went on. And in that situation, then, of course, I would end up asking her questions after. Then there's been other situations where I might not sleep with a woman for the first week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, first few months. Like, I think my longest I went without was my college girlfriend. We didn't have sex for 9 months because she was she was a virgin. So that was the longest I've ever waited for any woman, was 9 months. I ask the pertinent questions that I want to know. And see, a lot of times, for me, I got to kind of brag on myself. I'm so keenly, did you ever see this show called Lie to Me? That was about these experts that know how to read your body language.
Yeah.
And then there's another show like The Mentalist, centers around that concept. Well, I will say I don't have any credentials to back me up in this area, but most of my close friends know I can read women's body language so well that sometimes you don't even have to give me a verbal answer. If I ask you a question, I will just study your face or the way your body language is, and I'll know. Like if I ask you, say, have you ever been in a threesome? And you just start making certain facial expressions and moving your body a certain way, I'll be like, okay, I know the answer to that.
That's not what I'm getting at. I'm asking that question because if you've already slept with a woman and then you start asking her those type of questions, her body count is going up just by the mere fact that she slept with you. And now you're going to judge her based on something that you've asked her.
Well, see, again, for me, I don't judge women on pure numbers. I don't care. That's not.
But
there are a lot of men who do.
There's
men who do care about.
If you're gonna sleep with me first, then ask me those questions, then judge me based on that number or what I've done. How do you ever have a relationship if you're gonna walk out the door when you find out something about me? But only after you've gotten the sex from me. That's a little unfair. I understand life isn't fair, but come on now. At some point, this has to work out in somebody's favor. You can't fuck me and then turn around and judge me because you fucked me.
I keep asking you this question. Purpose One, thank you for calling. I got a number of people in my phone queue, and I don't want to ignore them too much longer. But before I move to the next call, Renee, you're going to hear me say it probably a million times is, I don't get why a woman, why would you want to be with, the interview you almost have to listen to as far as interview I've done is the interview with Nina Hartley. To me, if there was a woman who broke it down on related to this issue, it was Nina Hartley. For those who don't know Nina Hartley, she's a legendary adult film actress, and she's kind of, I would call her the Meryl Streep of porn. She's her career is just... Her resume is extensive, and she's probably one of the most well-known actresses of her time. But anyway, I interviewed her on the show, and there was a portion of our interview where she was talking about how when she first started out in porn, she was trying to hide the fact that she was a porn actress from friends and acquaintances and even guys she was interested in dating. And she had that same attitude that you have now. At first, she was kind of like, well, you know, I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be called a slut. But then she said, as she matured, she got to a point where she was like, I don't give a fuck what other people think. Why would I want to date a guy who is going to judge me? She was like, shit, why would I even want to be platonic friends or friends with just somebody of the same gender if they're going to be judging me? She was like, I am who I am. If people are going to call me names, that's their choice. That's on them. Fuck them. And I was basically like, amen, sister, because that's basically how I feel. I'm not going to be in a relationship with a woman who's going to be judging me on shit that I don't want to be judged on. If I see that a woman, that's something for me. I'm going to be just the opposite. I'm going to want to find that out as soon as possible. I want to find out if a woman has some judgmental qualities that I don't care for, so I can quickly say, okay, I'm going to leave this woman alone. She ain't the woman for me. You know, because I've had women judge me on different things. Maybe some of it's sexual, some of it's non-sexual. But that, it didn't get me bent out of shape. My attitude was just like, okay, we ain't right for each other. We need to go our separate ways. I need to go on to the next woman. She need to go on to the next dude. And that's how I feel that women should be. If they with a guy who's going to judge them on how many guys they slept with, instead of hiding that and lying about that in order to present yourself as somebody who you're not, you should just be an open book. And if he starts judging you, say, okay, I'm leaving your ass alone. And then I'm going to the next dude who won't judge me for how many men I slept with. Aaron Cole, well, it's not really Aaron Cole, it's 111. I guess it's one of those voice internet. But you are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest co-host, Renee Moore, from the show Black Women Talk. What's your comment, question, whatever?
Absolutely. Hi, Alan. And hi, Renee. I think Renee is taking this real well, and I like this. Look, I want to drive it home a little bit more. First of all, women say they want the truth and they want honesty. And I think three questions should be asked of a woman. And this is before, Renee. I think that's a very valid question as to when these are asked. How many men has she slept with? What age did she start sex? And how many abortions has she had? This is like an instant background check for the woman. And the purpose of that is to find out if she's stable, if she's capable of having a relationship, how she spent her time. Because if a guy wants to get involved with her, he needs to know that information. And just like Alan referenced, women love to play this game. They want to go out and screw DayQuil, NyQuil, and Phil or whomever, and then they want to, you know, get with the good guy, like he said, Frank on the shelf. So it's all about bait and switch and playing this game. However, if she is required to explain her sexual history, which is really her life history, it's like I said, it's like an instant background check, well, then she is stripped bare. And she needs to be that way because a guy needs to know. And just as it was said, women judge guys based on their finance, based on guys' sexual history. I think that was a good example about the down-low situation. And, of course, looks. So when a guy is armed with this information and it's not done maliciously, that's the point. But it needs to be asked early on in terms of open and honest communication and allow her an opportunity to express the truth and honesty that she says she wants. And I disagree with the black feminists who don't want women to be held accountable in any way. These are these are questions that hold women strictly accountable for a good reason.
That's good feedback, Richard. Renee, what you got to say in response to anything Richard says, if anything?
I don't have anything to say because my opinion is different from both of you. I mean, I could keep saying it, but
Renee, like,
I mean,
I'm just being ganged up on. So,
hopefully another woman will call in. You can ask me that number. I mean, you can ask me those questions. I could tell you, and then you walk away, and I do it with the next guy. We keep doing that over and over again.
We need the option of knowing that information so we can walk away. But if you're not the person, and I like what Alan said, we want to know that so that we can judge you.
Okay.
We want to know that so that we can judge you.
So I tell you that so you judge me. So then
that's right. We want to judge you, and I keep doing that.
If I ask you your credit score, do you feel comfortable telling me that?
Well, I would probably tell you.
Okay.
If we were talking, I would probably tell you, sure.
Okay.
It's very good, by the way.
You feel comfortable telling me that, Alan? You feel comfortable telling me your credit score?
And I'm glad you bring that up now, Renee, because I'm going to use that as an example. I'm
going to
use that as an example. If you're asking my credit rating, let's say you ask my credit rating, and I either, A, don't tell you, or worse, I lie and say I got an 800 score, and you believe me, only to find out, say, 6 months later, 12 months later, 18 months later, that when we're about to buy a house or something, that my credit's jacked up. Are you going to be happy about that? Aren't you going to be like,
you
what
consider
damn,
me
Alan?
A gold digger? But don't you consider me a gold digger if I'm asking you that question up front?
No, not in a serious relationship. Now, if I don't know you, when I have an adverse reaction to that, and I think I speak for a lot of men, a lot of women will ask those type of questions when they ain't even, like, they barely, like, say, the first conversation when they don't even really know you that well. Now, yeah, if I met you at, a nightclub and we only been talking for 10 minutes and you ask, I'm going to look at you like you crazy. I'm going to be like, hell no, I ain't telling you my damn credit score.
And so that relates to this question because it depends on when you're asking me these questions. Most guys are asking these questions pretty early on. A lot earlier than I'm going to be asking you your credit score because you're going to label me a gold digger. If you're asking me within 2 or 3 dates if I had an abortion, my God, really? Really? You're asking me those kind of questions that early on, and you probably have no intention of being with me because just like women do that to men, you guys do that to us too. You will table some woman that's not fine enough or whatever, you'll fuck around with the other girls, and then when you're ready to settle down, you want to come back to the nice girl. It happens on both sides.
Oh, I don't deny that. I don't deny that at all.
But
I would totally agree with
that. That's never brought up. It's always brought up that women do it. Men do it too.
Oh, if you read any of my articles, any of my books, I talk about that. So this is one thing we're on the same page. I know a lot of men who do that. I had an article. I don't know if you ever read my examiner.com articles, but I had an article. My very last article was about that very concept. I said that both men and women, a lot of men and women like to have what I call one person in their life who's dependable and predictable and another person who's adventurous and a challenge to their ego. And that goes for both men and women. Like, for women, a lot of women want to be in a relationship with, again, the quote-unquote proverbial nice guy, but they want to fuck around on the side with the edgy bad boy. And same with men. With men, I talk about this whenever I talk about the Madonna whore complex. A lot of men want to have the good girl as their girlfriend or wife, but then they want to fuck around on the side with the woman who's the slutty, kinky freak. So, yeah, that's definitely a concept that goes with both men
and women.
And
that's why women won't say those things, because most women want to be in a relationship. If we know that you don't want to be with the slutty girl long term, then we don't want to portray the slutty girl. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't further what we're looking to do. It can't just all be about what you want. So if women are looking for relationships, and we know that that's not what you're going to ever marry, even though that's what you're going to fuck after you marry us, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if I get that. Before you continue, I want to see, because I got so many calls, I want to see if Richard had any last comment before I move on to the next caller. Richard, do you have any other questions?
Actually, what Renee just said is factually incorrect. There's a website called myfreecams.com, that's cams with an S, and you will see many women on there low-key prostituting. A lot of women are not about relationships. They are about frivolous encounters A lot of women are in the adult porn industry. They're not looking for relationships, Renee. And
I tell Renee that
women
all the time, Richard. I agree with you.
Yeah, I date. Thank you. I date
I'm
women
on this
exclusively.
Show. Is this the reason you have me on the show just not to be beat up by Richard? Richard beat
no,
me
I don't
want to
beat up on you, but. No, so we're not
beating
up.
I'm not beating
up. Telling the
okay,
truth.
I'll just
women
listen to you. What I'm doing.
A lot of women will make this statement that, you know, Alan, just about all women are looking for long-term relationships. And I always tell them, I say, that's bullshit. Women are just like men. You have some men out here who are looking for long-term monogamous relationships, and you got other men out here that are looking to fuck as many women as humanly possible. And it's the same on the woman's end. There's some women out here that are looking for long-term monogamous relationships that are going to lead to marriage, but you got other women out here, they just want to fuck as many guys as they possibly can. You can't generalize and say that 90% or whatever, even though you didn't specifically offer a percentage, but some women will act like 9 out of every 10 women out here are looking for relationships, and that's not true. That's why I start being more one. That's the whole basis of actually of my book. Because I notice when I start being straightforward with women about the fact that I wanted casual sex, I notice that a lot of women I would meet, they would basically be like, oh, I'm looking for casual sex too.
And, probably because they know they can't get a relationship, so you may as well get an orgasm.
Some women aren't looking for a relationship. Like, I give you an example. I'm going to be loosely generalizing. I give you a group of women that I find that typically is women who've already been married, say, once or twice or maybe three times. They're older, like over 35. A lot of women, I mean, they carry their attitude is like, I've been there, done that. I ain't looking to get married again. I ain't even looking to live with nobody again. I just want some dependable dick when I need it. Other than that, I don't want to be around no dude. So, you know, there's as Richard said, I'm sorry, Richard, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to agree with you that there's a lot of women out here that are looking for casual sex in the same manner that a lot of guys are just looking for casual sex.
Absolutely. Is my mic still open? I want to get this. Yeah, you can go. It's called DANGWTF.com. You go there where women, they're just showing their bodies for free there. They're booty shaking. And also you go to myfreecams.com. And you have women there taking tips for showing their bodies. And by the way, women who do that know that guys will not be serious about them. But a lot of women are preferring to get the little trinkets, the money, because guys are tipping them. They're tipping them for showing their bodies. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but you should go to that site. And the reason I say go to that site is so we won't be ignorant of what's going on. They use these webcams in their bedrooms, and they're low-key prostituting. So there are a large number of women who are not interested in relationship. They're what you call commitment phobic. And the ones who do want relationships generally don't do anything. So you don't have a neon sign on your head saying I'm available, so men don't know that you are available. So anyway, those are just some high points I wanted to address. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate your feedback. And my next hold on, callers who are in the MQ. I got to do a commercial. This is actually the longest I've gone without doing an intermission break, and I'm going to let Renee get a swig of water. But I see you, 202, I see you. I see 303, I see 832, I see 313, and I see a couple others. If you call in, listeners, press the number 1. That lets me know you want to talk. But right now, I'm going to do an intermission break of about 5 to 6 minutes. I'm going to let Renee get some juice, and I'm going to get some water. And then we're going to come back with this fiery conversation. And Renee said, y'all just beating up on me, Allie. You just invited me on this show, so y'all was just gang up on me. So I want to hear some women. I want some women to call in. I've been getting nothing but guys calling in. Some of you women call in and side with Renee so I can just blast you too.
I know this is like being on Black Women Talk, except it's on Thursday night. While we stop this show, nobody want to deal with that every week.
But, yeah, I'll be right back.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Scores Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. I'm in love with
a This is Alexandra Cuttahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. So I'm getting treated for
my sex disease. This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
What's going on, fellas?
Thanks for tuning in. It's nice to see you all again, Phil.
If you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff, because it's awesome! And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls.
If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you.
He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher, and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from.
Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister name.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I will see you.
You will?
Soon. Ryan.
Ryan. Hey, dude.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing, actually, in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know, chat girls on the street. Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want it. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the boot camp stage if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... Just... What? I mean, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my open forum discussion about women's sexual past on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. This is one of those episodes where some people probably would have advised me, Alan, just don't go there again. Because the last time I had this episode, a similar episode, I got more critical feedback from female listeners than I want to say any episode I've had in the last 5 years. The first time I touched on this topic was back in early March of 2010. I had a show on. It was called Sexual Soul Ties and Rethinking Premarital Promiscuity. And I expressed not only a lot of my own individual thoughts about premarital promiscuity, but thoughts that represented the men I had interacted with and the men I had conversed with, and I shared with women what I thought was information that would actually help them. But a lot of women didn't appreciate a lot of the comments that I made. If you're just tuning in, one of the things we're talking about, the main theme of tonight's show is what details, if any, should a woman share about her sexual past with a new boyfriend. Not with just some random guy off the street or some guy you having a one-night stand with a weekend fling. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about like you're in a new boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. And say, now in some cases, you might have a boyfriend who doesn't care about your sexual past. I got a good close friend who's married. He got married a couple years ago. And I was talking to him about it. He said he never asked his now wife any questions about her sexual past. He didn't want to know. He didn't share anything about his sexual past, and he didn't want to know anything about her sexual past. So I'm not saying that every guy cares about a woman, because I've met guys that don't care. But I would say for every guy that probably doesn't care, there's probably 2 to 3 guys that do. A movie I always promote related to this topic is a movie called Chasing Amy. You gotta see Chasing Amy. It's a movie directed by a guy named Kevin Smith, and it stars Ben Affleck. There's not too many movies I've found that deal with this specific issue, and if there's some more movies, please, listeners, tell me about them. But the main movie I saw that deals directly with this issue we're talking about tonight is Chasing Amy. Ben Affleck, he meets this woman that he's goo-goo gaga about, and at first she tells him that she's a self-proclaimed lesbian, and he breaks through that, he wins her over, they start dating, And then he goes, one day he's going to like a 7-Eleven, and he runs into two guys that used to go to high school with his new girlfriend. And they're basically like, oh, you dating Alyssa? I think her name in the show was, in the movie is Alyssa or something like that. They're like, oh, you dating Alyssa? He's like, yeah. And they start snickering. And he's basically like, you know, like, why are you snickering? You know, at first they're like, oh, nothing, nothing. He's like, no, what's up? And they say, hey, man, bro, we got to tell you, man, your girl used to be a big-ass freak, man. She used to do, like, lunchtime orgies with us and everything. And he, like, Ben Affleck, he can't handle that. And it was real. It was not only an entertaining movie, but to me it was real because his behavior in that situation was representative of a lot of men I know. A lot of men, they can't handle. If they date a woman and they find out from a third party that that girl, either in her recent past or in her distant past, used to be like a big-ass promiscuous kinky freak. A lot of guys can't handle that. Some guys can. Some guys can. But a lot of other guys, they can't. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen the situation where the guys couldn't handle that. And so anyway, a woman I invited to join me, I actually invited two women to join me, but only one of them ended up joining me, and I really appreciate her joining me. She's a woman who had me as a guest on her show a couple weekends ago. Her name is Renee Moore. She's the co-host of a show right here on Blog Talk Radio called Black Women Talk, even though it's named Black Women Talk, but she said like 98.3% of her listeners are black men. Sisters don't even be tuning in to the show. But she's been holding her ground, and I respect her for that. She has opinions that are different from mine, and she's not budging from them, and that's what I wanted. That's why I got her on the show. I mean, this would be a boring show if she was just agreeing with everything I said or I was agreeing with everything she said. I have my strong opinions. She got her strong opinions, and it's caused a lot of people to get into my phone queue. First, I want to give some shout-outs to people who have been listening, still listening. I see some people come and gone. Oh, Lord, I see the Lavologists in my chat room. Lord have mercy. The Lavologists. If you're new to Blog Talk Radio, you probably don't know about the Lavologists. Lavologists was a legend on here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. He used to have a show on Sunday night, and he would have all kinds of people in his chat room. It'd be like 250 people in his chat room. And he has this really smooth voice. He talks like, you know, really smooth, the Lavologist. But anyway, I see him in my chat room. What's up, love? Much love to you, man. I see Patty Summers in my chat room. Purpose Once, he called in earlier. He's still in my chat room. I got Mystical, a loyal listener and good friend. He's in my chat room. I got James C. Jimmy in my chat room. I got my younger cousin from Detroit, Christopher. He's in my chat room. I got a number of guests. I got Claudio Robello in my chat room. I got Black Man 37. I got Black Women Talk, which is Renee. I got Apple Capital Group. And I've had a number of other different people that have been in and out of my chat room tonight. So, yes, if you want to call in and contribute to the conversation, the number is 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710. And now I'm going to take area code 202. 202, you're now up front and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry, my guest co-host, Renee Moore. What's your comment related to this conversation?
Hey, I'm not Renee, man.
I was saying my guest co-host's name is Renee. What's your first name?
Oh, Greg, man.
Greg, okay, yeah, I spoke to you briefly earlier. Greg, what do you have to say to this about this conversation we're having tonight?
I think equal opportunity for women ends in the bedroom. Your past is your future, ladies. I hate to say it, but it is. You know, it does matter. You know, men generally do not marry reformed hoes. Sorry. It's just, you know, it's the way it is. You know?
You didn't mince no words and say that, did you?
Yeah, and, you know, usually your boys will tell you, you know, your girl's a hoe. I mean, like when I'm dating a new chick, I might, you know, say, yo, I just met a new chick, you know, I like her, boom, boom. I'm trying to see if he knows her ass, you know, and I want to know, you got some information about her. And usually your boys will let you know, yo, man, don't even go that route, man. You know, they'll tell you straight up that she's a hoe. And then that puts a woman in a different, men you know what? A male is probably still messing with your ass, but he's putting you in a different category. You are no longer YP material. You're just a jump off booty call. But, you know, booty call. That's where he's putting you right there. Because when a man is serious about a woman, he is really looking under the hood. He's kicking the tires. He wants to know what's going on with this woman, because see, men have different criteria. You know, women think we're all stupid and all we want to do is just hit it, but it's not the case, because men are also looking for wives, and they're looking for mothers for the kids. And that takes a whole different criteria for women, and they just do not understand that. You know, ladies, you can screw who you want, but when it comes to wife it up, men are just going to say no. They're going to take a pass on it. That's why a lot of women aren't getting married, and they don't know why, because that shit does matter to men.
Well, one thing you definitely broke down that, see, you came real, and I like that in you, Greg, because, see, I was telling Renee, there's a lot of things that I've told women that they'll say they want the truth, but when you tell them the truth, they really don't want to hear the truth. And you just said an example of something that's true is that fellas will share information. I tell women that all the time, and that's one of the reasons I said at the beginning of the show. I said, I always tell women both privately and on the show, I say, if you are going to hide your, say, details about your sexual past, make sure it's something that you feel pretty confident that is not going to be shared by the guys you fuck. Because I'm telling you, I've seen guys talk. Guys talk. Because here's what happens, and Greg, I know you're going to be able to relate to this scenario. See, women, them being on the other side, they don't necessarily relate to this scenario. Let's say you're a guy. Let's say I'm a guy, and I walk in with Linda. And I think Linda is a quote-unquote good girl because that's how she's presented herself. And so I'm walking in this club with Linda, and then, say, I see Greg, who's on the phone, and one of his boys, let's say he got a friend named Raymond, and they look at me, and they start snickering. Now, if I catch that, I'm going to wonder. I'm going to be like, damn, why are these two brothers over there just snickering?
Because I know why he snickered, because he probably was skeeting all over her back or something.
So I might go over there and talk to you. I might say, hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, how y'all been doing tonight? Blah, blah, blah. And then I say, hey, man, I couldn't help but to catch that y'all was snickering, man. And then, ladies, this was going to happen more often than not. A brother like Greg might say, hey, man, is that your girlfriend?
Yeah,
and if I say yeah, he might be reluctant to say. He might say, okay, I just want. And I say, oh, why you asking that? He'd be like, oh, no, nothing. That might be persistent. I was like, no, go ahead, tell me. Then if he wants to keep it on the rail, he say, okay, bro, man, I'm just gonna keep it real, man.
Yeah,
that's Linda Jameson, ain't it? And I'm like, yeah, that's her name. Yeah, man, me and my boy Raymond here, man. We used to call up at like 3 in the morning on a Friday night when we wanted our dick sucked, and she'd come over and suck our dick.
Yeah.
And see, then I'm like, oh, shit, you kidding me? Now, see, and this is why I tell women to be open and honest, because, see, if you as a woman, if, say, you're Linda Jameson, you already told me that shit, and I decided to stick with you, then it ain't no big deal. I know that shit.
And I'll tell you something else that women don't understand about men. Men are very observant. Men will watch women in clubs that they don't fuck with, and men have been probably watching your ass for the last 15 years, and women don't understand that. Them same brothers that you think ain't watch you have been watching your ass. We know your background, and then all of a sudden you want to come brand new when you got 3 kids by 3 different dudes and you're 30 pounds overweight or the clock's ticking, and then you expect some dude to wife it up. It's not going to happen. He's not even going to take you seriously. He'll hit it. You know, but he ain't gonna wife you up. And that's why women ain't getting wifed up. They don't understand it. Your past is your damn future. You know?
Well, I'm not gonna 100% agree with you on that, because I'm gonna say this. Yeah. I don't know if you heard me talk about Nina Hartley, but Nina Hartley, she was a porn star. And she's been married. So there are some men, now granted, not many.
Yeah, I know.
There are some men that will marry a woman that, say, is either a porn star or has had a history of being very promiscuous. But see, those women, they own their sexuality. And that's what I respect about women like Anina Hartley. And that's what I tell women. I tell women, if you're going to get your freak on, own it. What I don't like is if you're a big freak, but you're trying to pretend that you're a good girl. And that's what most guys don't like.
You know what?
If you're
going to
be a freak, be a freak.
you know, when I was growing up, man, women that went to church and the good girls, they didn't mess with women that were promiscuous. Hoes and married women did not socialize. I remember that growing up. I don't know if you remember that yourself, but like my mother didn't even hang around single women or women that were hoes. I'm not saying single women were hoes, but women that fucked around, church women didn't really hang with them. And now you got women that want to flip the script. They want to shake their ass, be hoes, fuck all these niggas, and then they want to be respectable at the same time.
Greg, you're speaking my language, brother. I hate to interrupt you, man, but see, now you get to the harder matter. This is when I did this show the last time. This is when I got really kind of passionate and fiery, and a lot of women were starting to get pissed off. But what I basically said is, as I just was saying, actually, what I don't like is, if you're a woman who's kinky and you let it be known you kinky, I don't have no complaint against you. If you like to suck two dicks at the same time on a weekly basis, and you upfront and straightforward, which is the title of my show about that, and you own it, I don't have no problem against you. But as Greg just talked about, you got a lot of women out here who are what I call either double agents, or as some guys call them, closet freaks, or I call them in my book, Mo 1, Wholesome Pretenders. Women who basically, they want to exhibit the behavior of a promiscuous woman, but they don't want the label. And I'm saying is, if you're going to exhibit behavior, the labels, valid or not, come with the territory. You just got to deal with that shit. It's just like me. I'm a kinky, freaky motherfucker. I don't never try to hide that shit. I'm a kinky-ass motherfucker. And I tell women that. Now, I'm sure I've had women call me names because of that. But I own my sexuality. And I bet you do too, Greg. Whatever you've done, do you try to hide shit about yourself?
No, I don't try to hide shit. I mean, I don't even ask my woman how many guys she, I'm married. I've never asked her how many dudes she's been with, but because I've always thought this about women, man. They always give off a vibe. Like women that have been around or hoes, you kind of can feel it off their ass for some reason. Even bad women give off a bad vibe. I don't know if you can feel it, but when I'm around a woman that's a hoe or just a nasty woman, I get this vibe off their asses. And you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever gotten that vibe off a woman that you've been with? You just get this whole vibe off her ass.
I have a keen sense of women's vibes, yeah. I'm laughing actually because the way you just said a nasty
because women always seem to have women's intuition, but man, we have something called gut feeling too. You know, that's something they don't understand. We have a gut feeling about a woman, and I've gotten gut feelings about women, and they've always been right about their asses. And if I get a gut feeling off a woman that she's been a hoe or she's dishonest or whatever, I ain't fucking with her. I don't give a damn how big her ass is, how big her titties are. I'm leaving her ass alone because I don't fool with dangerous women, man. Because you can get killed out here by these dangerous women. Because I've seen a lot of dudes get fucked around by screwing around with the wrong woman. And smart men are just avoiding their asses.
Okay, Greg, before I let you off the line, because I got some other calls, but my guest call, she's been real quiet while me and you have been talking. I know she's throwing darts. She got a picture of both of us. She's throwing darts at it. What you got to say about anything we say? You just like, I ain't got nothing to say because y'all just going to gang up on me.
What do you want me to say? I mean, I'm listening to the conversation, and one hand own your sexuality, and the next breath I'm a huff. I mean, I stand by it. I'm not going to tell you all of that. If you ask me a specific question in a relationship, I'll answer it. I'm not saying I'm going to lie, but I'm not going to go around telling you my sexual past. I can't see where I'm gaining from this. And the more I listen to each of your calls, I am more tight-lipped now than I was before I came on the show. I'd actually considered agreeing with you until I heard your callers.
You just agreed with me just now, actually. See, to me, I feel like you've already taken a step forward. Cause
no,
now you're saying the same thing I've always said.
I never said I lied about it.
Volunteer information.
No, I'm not
but
volunteering.
But if you're specifically asked a question, you should answer honestly, and you sound like you just said that's what you willing to do.
I want to answer honestly, but I want to know why you want to know that question, too, because I'm trying to find out what you're trying to figure out when you ask it. I'm not going to answer a question about how many men I slept with, because that's really, you really don't need to know that.
But if you ask me if I have a community
specifically harping on this whole number thing.
Yes, because I get asked that question quite a bit. That's the question that usually gets asked. How many men have you been with? Why do you want to know that?
Well,
I don't understand what
you
want to know.
I told
you
why
men,
the
men
who ask
that
question, I'm telling you why they want to know.
I heard
this is why they
want to
know.
Answer.
Huh?
I know. You want to know
okay.
if I have a higher body count than yours. I get that.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's, I keep harping on that because that's the question that I get asked, and I'm thinking there's no reason for you to have that answer. If you want to know if I have a disease because you think when I give you a number, you're going to say, ooh, that's kind of nasty. She needs to go to the clinic. Then I will tell you, I've been tested. I don't have anything that you're going to catch. If that's what you're trying to find out, I'll answer that question. But I'm not going to tell you how many people I've been with because I know you're going to judge me. Just now he just said, I'm going to be a hoe. Because
he
have a number in their mind.
Hey, Renee, let's say Greg
he
is calling you a hoe for sleeping with X number of men. Why?
Right.
My question to you is, so what? Why do you care about that?
Actually, I don't anymore, but that's not the point. The point is women don't answer that question because they don't want to be labeled nasty or a hoe and all the things I've just heard men call us tonight. Why would any woman want to answer that question and be subjected to that?
Roger.
Yes.
Hey, when you go to court, who do you see, man? I'm curious.
When I go to court?
Yeah, who do you see when you go to court?
The bailiff, the attorney,
a judge.
You see the judge. This one keeps talking about judging. You get judged, okay? By, it's called, you know, I don't know why women have to keep having a hard time with this judging. When you go to court, you're actually getting judged. When you go file for you try to get a mortgage, they're judging your credit history, okay? They judge you all the time. So you need to get off of that. Yes, you're going to be judged. I'm going to judge your ass, you know? Get a grip, lady. Yeah.
Renee and people listening to this show who have this whole – I wrote an article about this. People always want to be quick to say, don't judge me, don't judge me, don't judge me. But as Greg just said, you're going to be judged. Here's the reason why. For different things you do in life, not everything, but there's some things that a certain standard comes along with that. Okay, let's say health and fitness. If you call yourself a personal trainer – people are going to assume that you eat right and you exercise on a regular basis. So if you call yourself a personal trainer, but people see you eating a hot fudge sundae with whipped cream and three double cheeseburgers and you got this big-ass belly, they're going to judge you. Why? Because they don't feel like you're meeting the standard of what a athletic personal trainer should exhibit. And it's the same with dating and relationships. People judge you. Tiger Woods is a man. He got judged for cheating on his wife. Why? Because when you take vows and exchange vows, it's assumed that you are going to exhibit monogamous behavior. And if you don't, people are going to judge you. So if you're in a relationship with a guy and you're telling him that I need to be in love with you in order to have sex with you and enjoy sex with you, but yet he finds out that in your past you have fucked a motherfucker just because he had muscles and a big dick, then he's going to judge you because he knows now that what you told him about love is bullshit. Why do you have to be in love with me to have sex with me, but yet when Tyrone was at the club, all he needed was muscles and a big dick?
Happened when she was 25. Maybe that happened in another period of her life. So I'm now going to be judged on something I did back then, even though I may have changed.
Well, I agree with you. I don't really think that men should per se judge a woman on stuff that's in her distant past. But again, my argument where I kind of partially defend guys like that, that's their choice. A guy is going to make choices of why he wants to continue to date you or not. Why would you almost want to like obligate a guy to date you when you're really not presenting the real you? Now, Renee, here's a question I have for you. I get the impression that if you have hid information about your past, that it's never blown up in your face because, see, one of the reasons I warn women not to do that is not just because I'm coming off my high horse and trying to sound authoritative, but I've seen shit blow up in women's faces. I've seen where a woman tried to keep details about something that happened either in a recent sexual past or a distant past. And the shit, like, okay, a good example is, like, since Greg is still online, and I got to go actually move to the next caller, but the scenario that I gave with Greg about in the club. See, I've seen that scenario happen. I've seen a scenario where a woman, say, was dating a guy, and he came into a party or club, and he saw a couple guys looking at him snickering, and he was like, damn, why are these dudes looking at me snickering? So he went and talked to these brothers, and they told him the deal. Like Greg was talking about, guys share information. And these guys end up telling the guy. They say, man, that's your new girlfriend? Dude, that girl's a hoe, dude. Me and my boys, man, we was running trains on her all last month.
I know. You know what? It's painful for dudes, but dudes really do that because they don't want to see you marry a goddamn hoe, and that's why dudes do it, man. Because if I saw my boy with a chick that I knew is a straight up hoe, used to be, I'm gonna tell his ass, man. Say, look, man, that girl's a hoe. You know, I'll tell him straight up because I want him to know. I don't want him marrying this shit and having the shit fall apart on him, having people laughing at his ass. I don't want that. You know,
That happened. I was at an event, and then I promised next call. I see all these calls. Excuse me for this. Just is such an interesting topic. And but, Greg, it happened, I want to say, for me, about 2 years ago. I was at a party, and there was a guy that me and my friends knew, and he was with this babe that we knew was basically very, you know, kinky and promiscuous. And, again, as I told you, Renee, earlier, and I told my female, listen, it's one thing if the guy knows. Then that's when it's actually no big deal.
Because
that means he's choosing to stay with her on his own volition.
Yeah.
So I don't have an issue. If the guy knows what that woman's about and he's choosing to date her, then it's no issue. But it's an issue when a guy is thinking that a woman's a quote-unquote good girl or conservative type, but she's really kinky and promiscuous. And that was the situation here. And me and my buddies, we had a dilemma because a lot of guys are like, damn, dude, who wants to be the one to tell them? Because honestly, a lot of us were reluctant. A lot of guys, but the guys kept expressing. They was like, man, somebody needs to tell him, man. Because we know he don't know. And like it goes to your point, Greg. A lot of brothers, especially if they're cool with you, they want to give you the 411.
Yeah, they'll tell you, man. They'll tell you
if they feel like you in the dark.
So you're telling me if this woman had, she had an orgy, let's say you're 45, you're dating this woman. She had an orgy when she was 22 with these guys. You're telling me that actually matters at this point?
It matters.
20 some odd years later?
Even though
she may have changed, she's never done it again?
I don't give a fuck if she's Mother Teresa. If she's had an orgy, I want to know, okay? I'm sorry.
I feel better about judging any man I date from now on because this conversation has truly made me.
I'm all about
lots and lots of people now.
The title of my show, Renee, as you know. And first of all, Greg, thank you for calling. I appreciate your feedback, and now I do have to move on. But the title of my show is Upfront and Straightforward. Here's my thing, and I know I'm sounding repetitive. I hate to keep reiterating the same principles from my head, but I believe in full disclosure. That's how I've always operated. There's not one woman who I've ever dated that can ever say that I've hid anything about them. If anything, I'm guilty, actually, by women's estimation, of overtelling shit. I've had women say, Alan, you actually told me way more than I wanted to know.
But the difference, Alan, is that you're a guy and you're bragging, to be honest. And a woman is not doing that when
she's
a guy.
No, I disagree with
you. Yeah, you are. Even
no, I disagree
not,
with you.
Bragging.
I don't do it out of a
women,
from. I don't come from
women,
a state of braggadocious. What I want to do, the reason why when I'm in a relationship, why I like to tell women information about me is because the very reason we're talking about it. I don't want a woman to hear shit from a third party when she could have heard it from the horse's mouth. Let's take, for example, my love for phone sex. I think everybody knows. I talk about that on this show how much I've had phone sex in my life with probably somewhere between 1,500 and 1,600 women. I don't say that to brag. Well, I tell girlfriends that is because I don't want to hide that shit and say they had a party. party and they talk to a woman and the woman says, "You dating Alan Roger Curry?" You know that nigga, he love phone sex. He done had phone sex with me and four of my girlfriends. I don't want her to be like, "What? He never told me that's something he do." I don't want her freaking out finding that shit out from somebody else. So I tell women up front, I say, "You know what? I got a thing for phone sex." And I'll even tell the number, even if they don't ask me. I actually will tell them. No, I say, over the last 15, 20 years, I probably had phone sex with close to 1,600 women. And most of them, of course, they'll say, "Damn." But the reason I want it again, I'm not just saying that to brag. I say that so that I don't want them going to anybody else and finding that out when they could have found out from me. And that's what I tell women. You should always tell men stuff so that they don't find out from a third party. Because I'm telling you, I can't say this enough. When men find out stuff from a third party, it never works out well. It never.
I've never seen it work out well when they've been up front.
I have. No, I disagree with you. Well, I can't speak for your experiences. You can only speak for your experience. In my experiences,
they judge you the whole entire relationship, which is ridiculous. I wish. Why even tell? Why tell if every time I turn around, you're going to bring it up and throw it in my face?
No, I've seen it work out well. I know women that I'm cool with who have actually been an open book with their serious boyfriends. And those the boyfriends that did choose to stay with them and accept them for who they really are, their relationship worked out well. Like, I know some women, for example, right now, who, like, when I went to college with, who were fairly promiscuous. But right now, these women, a lot of them, are happily married. They got kids. And they told their husbands. They told their men at the time. They told them that that basically, you know, what a lot of women will say, they'll put it in terms of, "I was in college, I was very adventurous and experimental." And sometimes they'll just leave it at that. And if the man asks for more details, they might go ahead and tell him. But a lot of women have told me that's what they'll tell a man. They'll say, "Hey, I'm going to let you know. If you run into anybody who went to college with me, they might share some stories. I'm going to let you know. When I was in college, I was very adventurous and experimental, but, you know, I had my fun, I sold my oats, and now I've transitioned to a different place." And if the guy is cool with that, if he accepts that, then you're setting a foundation for a great relationship. But I'm telling you, if you get, it's like Eddie Murphy had a joke about this. He said, a long time ago, he had a joke, and I'm going to paraphrase it. But he said, "It's funny how I'll be hooked up with a lot of women, and they'll frown their face when I let one or two skeleton bones fall out my closet. But then when I go to their closet, they got 38,000 skeleton bones falling out their closet." You know, just let people know you're skeleton. But anyway, 303, sorry to keep you waiting. It's such an intense topic. 303, you're now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest co-host, Renee Moore. What's your thoughts on this very intense, provocative, controversial topic?
Alan, how could you keep me waiting? It's Patty in Denver.
What's up? for listeners, if you don't know, I just had Patty on last week, and we were talking about stuff to do with promiscuity, and we were actually talking about polyamorous behavior and swinging along with George Pappas. But I don't know how long you've been listening.
Patiently, just sort of becoming more and more incensed as time went by.
Okay, now what's your thoughts about the general theme of what details, if any, should a woman share about her sexual past with a new boyfriend?
You know, the bottom line is this. If you're going to start those conversations, it's quid pro quo. If you're going to ask a woman how many men she slept with and tell her that that is critically important to the future of their relationship, then he's got to do it too. And if you want to know if she had an orgy or she did this or she did porn in her past or she was a closet webcam girl or whatever the hell, I mean, you know, he's got to come clean too.
The truth
of the matter is, does it really freaking matter? And I'm with Renee on this because I heard her say this very early on in the show. Why are you asking? Are you asking because you want to make a judgment? Because you're, listen, I have a friend in L.A. who's a rapper. and traveled with a very, very famous rapper. And he one day, I said to him, hey, dude, how many women do you think you've slept with in your life? Just out of conversation because of what I do. And he says, oh, I don't know, probably about 1,000. You know, and I said, really, the next day, and I didn't think any, I said, I believe that because I knew his past. And the next day I heard him actually say in the studio around a whole bunch of people, damn, I need to find me a wife, but I don't want no hoe. I got to find me somebody, a good girl, a good woman, to iron my shirts and take care of me and cook my food. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Are you? It cracked me up because one day he's telling me he slept with 1,000 women. Now, this guy that was on just previous, I can't remember his name, but
right.
I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. If you're sticking your dick in every tight vagina you can get your hands on along the way, you know, where are you going to find yourself a virgin after a while? I mean, if you and all your friends are all screwing from the same pool, you know, it's
now, wait a minute, Greg,
like, where
you didn't talk about he was fucking a lot of different
women.
Greg actually said he's married.
Men.
Greg
huh?
is married.
The guy who was just talking about the wife and wanting to, if she was a hoe once, she's always a hoe. And I mean, good God.
Yeah, Greg is
you know?
Married.
I mean,
he didn't mention how
see...
many women he's had sex with. So in his defense, he didn't talk. He's not a hypocrite in that regard. But I do know men. I talked about this at the beginning. I do know men who are like this rapper you're talking about. I've said that. And I actually did criticize guys like that. I said at the beginning, if you're a man and you slept with 500 women, but you turning your nose up at a woman who slept with 100 men, then I said, you're a hypocrite. You have no room to call a woman a hoe. But what I also said, which will sound like I'm partially defending these guys, is that if that rapper, if it's his choice, see, this is what I always try to preach to people. You can't argue with people's choices and preferences. If a woman says, I only want to date guys who are 6'2" and I'm 5'11", what can I do? I can only accept her preference unless she decides to have a change of heart with me. But otherwise, I can't say, oh, you a bitch because you want men who are 6'2", fuck you. I can't believe you want to date a man who says, what can a man 6'2" do that a man 5'11" can't do? I would never do that to a woman. My attitude is, if she chooses to date a guy 6'2", that's her choice. If a woman says, I will only date a guy, this is real. This is not even a lighthearted analogy. I've heard women say, if a man ain't packing at least 9 inches, I ain't fucking around with him. If his dick ain't as fat as a pop can, I ain't fucking around with him.
And you don't have to ask that question. You can find that out pretty quick, and then you can move along.
But my attitude is, should I curse her out if I don't meet her criteria?
No,
should I curse her out and call her a bitch?
But there's a whole lot of men that tell us how unrealistic we're being when we had those criteria.
Yeah, it is pretty ridiculous because the truth of the matter is the average dick is not 8 inches long. And if that's what you're waiting for, I mean, they're out there.
But
you know,
my point
eight,
was,
nine, and
I don't want to get too much tangent off, but I was saying that my thought is this. I try my best, and I'm just speaking for me. I try my best not to argue with or criticize people's personal preferences. So going back to the guy being real promiscuous himself but yet wanting a good girl, on one level I feel like that is very hypocritical of him.
Mm-hmm.
But on another end, if that is his personal preference, who am I or who is any woman to say he shouldn't be entitled to his preference? Now, he's going to get a boatload of criticism, though, which he should, and he would. And the thing is, can he handle that criticism?
Well, and you said something a lot earlier in the show that I totally agree with. I want to know when I'm with a man that I'm not being judged on what color sweaters I wear or what color toenail polish I wear. I mean, if he hates red and I'm wearing red and he likes orange, that's a simple thing to change. But if he wants a virgin and I'm, you know, I've been married before and I got out of a long-term marriage and I needed to have sex, so I had sex with a number of men before I met him, that doesn't mean that I'm going to continue to want to have sex with a number of men. And if I do, I should be honest about it and say, look, I want an open relationship. And we talked about that last week. But, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that I don't want a relationship or I can't do relationship. I mean, you made an example when you mentioned Nina Hartley. I mean, she was a porn star and she had a very wild lifestyle, but she eventually wanted to get married and have children, and I'm sure she probably, and maybe she has a conventional marriage, I don't know. I don't know her details. But it is possible because people do need different things at different times in their lives. Period. You know?
But see,
you can't,
Nina was a person who was totally side with me. She said her attitude is, any guy I deal with, I'm going, because she admitted she used to be the type that would try to hide stuff about her sexual life and her sexual past.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she got to a point where she realized she was allowing other people's opinions and criticisms and judgments to dictate how she behaved. So she said she got to a point where she was like, fuck that. I'm going to be who I am.
Exactly.
If people don't like it, fuck them. They
and
don't need to be in my
that.
Life.
I respect
and,
that, yeah.
And that's how I feel. And this is what I say to women. If I'm just okay, let's go into numbers since Renee's always talking about the numbers. Let's say, okay, Patty, let's use you as an example. Let's say me and you dating, and I do ask you, I say, let's say me and you have a joint membership at this health club, and I notice that all these guys are always smiling at you and winking at you. And I say, so, Patty, how many guys that are members of this club have you fucked? And you either say, oh, I don't really want to tell you that, or okay, or you do worse and you lie. You say, okay, it is maybe about 3 or 4 guys, but I end up finding out in the next few months that there's actually about 25 guys you done fucked in that club. That's not going to rest
but
well.
But see,
with
that's
you.
That's not the way. That would not be the way I personally would answer that question. I would say, you know, are you ready to hear the answer? Because the truth of the matter is if you think that I've fucked 50 guys in the club, I may have fucked 25 of them, but if I'm going to tell you that, I don't know if 50 is a cool number for you. I don't know if 25 is a cool number for you. I don't know if 10 is your cutoff or 500.
Zero. Zero
I have no
is
freaking
the number
idea.
You want to hear. Zero. That's the
right.
number that's cool.
Right, and I'm not going to tell you, but the bottom line is I don't think a woman should have to tell a guy what he wants to hear, and I do not. I do agree when you said, you know, if they're going to judge you and you don't want to be judged and you don't want to spend the rest of your life living a lie and worrying about your past catching up with you, then if you're asked the question, you might as well be upfront and straightforward and honest about it right from the get-go, because I don't want those skeletons coming out of my closet 10 years down the line or somebody
see,
telling
you agree
somebody.
With me. This
you know,
is what I tell
agree.
Women. Why would you want to proceed in a relationship where you're going to always have this kind of like paranoia, like, damn, what if he finds out I did this? And what if he finds out I did that? And what if my ex-boyfriend who did this XYZ with me, what if they run into each other probably? And what if he shares that he did XYZ with me? If I was a woman, I wouldn't want to deal with that shit. I would be like, okay, if you ask me what have I done and did I do this and did I do this, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you most, if not all of what I've done, lay it on the table, and then now you decide if you still want me to be your girlfriend. And if I was a woman and I saw that the guy was going to be real judgmental and be like, no, I don't want to date you now, I'd be like, okay, cool. You go
because
on your way and I'm going
right,
on my
because
way.
Because I don't want to spend time trying to pretend I'm somebody I'm not, and I don't want to spend time with somebody who's always looking over his shoulder or always worrying about what I'm going to do next or judging me because he has his own insecurities about the fact that because in my past I may have been enjoying a very healthy sex life with multiple partners, that I'm never going to want to be monogamous. Because for me, monogamy is a choice. It's not about a standard or a rule or something that society or a freaking piece of paper tells me I have to be. It's about a choice. When I'm monogamous because I'm feeling it. Because I don't feel it for anybody else because I want to be with this person and nothing else is doing it for me. So it's a simple choice in my mind. It's not one that's tied or required of me by someone telling me that I have to be it or asking me to promise if it's not in my heart. So that's my theory. And I agree. I don't want to be with somebody who's going to be judging me. If he's going to be judging me, if he stops calling the next day because he found out that I slept with, you know, his second cousin, I mean, or whoever, or 5 rock stars, or whatever it is that is the problem for him, then so be it. That's his judgment. If he can't handle it, then I probably don't want to continue on that relationship.
But
I know now,
you
then
start
later.
Off saying you agree with Renee, but actually, the more you've been talking, you more so agree with me, because you haven't really said anything that I really disagree with. A lot of stuff you're saying now is stuff I totally agree with, is that you're saying that you don't want to be with a judgmental guy. And that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why a woman would even want to be with a guy who's really judgmental.
Right. Well, I agree with Renee from the standpoint of, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, so to speak. So the bottom line is, if a man is, and that was our first conversation about, you know what, if a man is going to ask a woman, then a man has to come clean too, and there should not be a double standard. And again, I think, you know what, there are people who live in marriages where they know their spouse is probably getting some on the side or cheating, and they'd rather not know. I've talked to a lot of women and men like this, and they'd rather not know. It's like, you know what, we have a family to raise. This is good. This is happy. I have this little suspicion over here, but blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not all that hung up on that because I know this person loves me, and we have what we have, and it's all good for now, and I'm cool with it. There's things I don't want to even go there. I don't want to know about certain things that have happened before we were married or before we were dating. And that's fine. But the bottom line is, if you're going to ask the question, be prepared for the answer. Because if the answer is honest and you don't like it, oh, well.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. Now, Patty, before I let you go, because I got a number of callers waiting for me, but I got to ask you this question. It's race-related. Because since you're a Caucasian and a very attractive Caucasian woman, but Renee had made this generalization that I disagree with. She said black men are more concerned with numbers than white men are. Now, you being a white woman who dealt with probably your share of white men, when you say white men, you've met your share of white men who care about numbers too, or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, then that's what I thought.
Absolutely.
Because I know
I've met a lot of
white guys who
yeah.
care about numbers. Matter of fact, when I've been on message boards, now I'm going to do this a little bit generalized, Renee, but I know a lot of white guys who are quicker to call a woman a slut than a lot of brothers I will. Why, I've been on message boards where, man, white dudes, they'll quickly. If a woman would say she slept with five guys, they'd be like, oh, she's a slut. And I'd be like, damn, dude.
I would agree.
I was in college, I went to Indiana University in Bloomington, and I remember sometimes I would party with white guys, and they would ban a woman do just, like if she wore just a provocative dress, some white guys would be like, oh, look at her, she's a slut, look at the way she's dressed, she's a slut.
You know, I think, I hate to say this, but I think a lot of times men are intimidated by extremely sexual women, or women who are very comfortable with their own sexuality, and are not afraid to dress sexy. And they're not dressing sexy, let me tell you, always for other guys. They're dressing sexy for themselves, and because they like to feel good. And, you know, they may have been in shitty marriages where their husband didn't compliment them for 15 years, and now they're out and about, and they want to dress the way they want. They might have had somebody controlling in their life, a boyfriend or whatever, and they want to be who they are and feel good about themselves, and they have a newfound, they've embraced their sexuality and feel comfortable with it. And so, you know, a guy can judge that, but a lot of times the guys who do that are the guys who are afraid to approach that woman because their self-esteem is so damn low that they know they're not going to go home with that tonight. So they're going to call her a slut.
I agree with that. I'm going to tell you two reasons why I find, and then I'm definitely going to let you go, Patty, because I got all these people waiting. There's two reasons why I find a lot of guys will want to know, say, about numbers and a lot of other stuff about a woman's past. And I would say one is pretty valid, and the other one is definitely not valid, but it's just realistic how men are. The one that's invalid, but it's still real. And this, I don't know if you heard me talking about this movie, Chasing Amy.
Mm-hmm.
But this, the guy who wrote the movie and directed, his name is Kevin Smith, and he plays a character in the movie. He says something towards the end, and I hate that I'm spoiling it for people who haven't seen it yet. So if you haven't seen it yet, please close your ears, because this is, as they call it, a movie spoiler. But he says at the end, he's explaining to Ben Affleck, because Ben Affleck plays a character who had a hard time dealing with the fact that he found his girlfriend was had a promiscuous past. And Kevin Smith's character says, the reason why a lot of guys have problems with women having a promiscuous past, among other reasons, because their own insecurity that if, I'm going to use you, Patty, let's say I meet you and I'm dating you and you do tell me you fucked, say, 50 guys over the last 10 years. My insecurities might get the best of me and I might feel like, damn, she probably fucked a dude named Lewis that just fucked her way better than I'll ever be able to fuck her. So I don't want to be always living in Lewis's shadow. So I would just rather not deal with her than try to compete with her memories of Lewis. And so that was Kevin Smith's reasoning why a lot of guys care, because he said it's because he put it on their own insecurity. He said most men, they want to feel like they are your best dick you've ever had. And the more numbers you tell them you slept with, the more they're going to feel like they have less of a chance of being the best dick you ever had. Now, that's the reason that I think is kind of bullshit, and that's on them, but men do have insecurities. Now, the reason that's a little bit more valid is a lot of men feel like if I'm going to be in a relationship that's supposed to be monogamous, I don't want to be cheated on. And therefore, I don't want to be with a woman who, if she's in a room alone, say on a business trip, she's in a hotel with a guy who she deems attractive and sexy, that all he has to do is say XYZ ABC, and her panties are off and he's fucking her. So guys want to feel like, is this woman going to be loyal to me? And so that's where numbers play in for them, because they feel like, well, shit, if you done fucked a bunch of guys, especially if you fucked a bunch of guys very quickly, then that means you're more susceptible to the charms of a really handsome, charming, seductive type guy, which means you're more than likely to cheat on me. And guys don't want to be cheated on if their objective is, say, a long-term monogamous relationship. So
is that true about men, Alan?
What's that?
Is that true about men?
What I just said?
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah, it's very true about me.
What's the script? Is it true about men?
It was what true? Oh, by being... Oh, yeah. I mean, look, women are the same way. Women don't... Yeah, I would say that goes both ways. But a lot of women I know, they don't want to be with a guy that they know can be easily seduced by another woman. So, yeah, it goes both ways for sure. As a matter of fact, I would almost say it even goes more so for women. Because women definitely feel like men are more weaker and have less sexual self-control than the average woman does. So a lot of women will scream. But see, as Alex, the first caller, said, you have to admit, in society, our two genders are socialized totally differently. Like, when a woman is a virgin or has very low number of sex partners, her status is elevated. She gets props for that. On the man end, that's when we get ridiculed, not only by our fellow men, but even by a lot of women. If a man comes out and says he's a virgin, women laugh at him. They're like, what? You ain't never had no pussy? What's wrong with you? You can't get no pussy.
Well, let me say this. Just yesterday, I was talking to somebody who did not consider a woman having a low body count to be a good thing, because then she's not experienced, and he doesn't want to have to break her in.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can't win.
I know some guys like that. I know some guys like that, Renee.
I know a lot of guys like that. So there's, so we can't win. If I have too many, it's bad. If I don't have enough, then you don't think I'm sexually experienced. So,
but hey, Renee, here's when you win.
Magic number.
Here's when you win, Renee. You win when you're honest and you're an open book and you end up attracting the guy that's meant for you. That's when you win. When you're not,
like a man who's never dated a man.
When you're not pretending to be somebody that you're not. But anyway, Patty, thank you for calling in. I appreciate you calling in. Listeners, I got to warn you, we only got about 20 to 25 minutes left in the show. Then I'll be closing out. I still got a number of callers. Okay, I don't know if this is 832 I already talked to, or a new 832. Who's this? 832.
Yo.
Who this?
Yo, it's Curtis.
It's who?
It's Curtis. Curtis calling from New Orleans, man.
Curtis calling from New Orleans. What's up, Curtis?
Man, I'm from New Orleans, man. I've been listening to the whole show, man. It's lovely. It's
oh,
lovely.
I appreciate you saying that, man.
Hey,
so Curtis,
listen, man,
if you've been listening to the whole show, since we got time is of the essence, I can't engage in too much small talk with you. What's your strongest opinion about what we've been talking about tonight?
Nah, no small talk, man. I've spent a lot of time in my city, man, Bourbon Street, and I talk to old hoes, mature hoes, you understand me?
Uh-huh.
And this the thing, man. If you meet a woman, don't judge a woman by how many guys or women, yeah, New Orleans, that she been with, because if you look pussy face to face before, you pretty much know how many guys she been with. Any guy. Now, if you a lame and you don't know how it feel when you get in it, then you ought to leave that alone. Now, if you seen pussy face to face, you know how many guys she been with.
Bro, you know you're speaking old school. You're speaking old school wisdom right now.
If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. You understand me? Don't judge them women. You can't judge them women like that. Because, you know, hey, we get limp too, man. And that thing, look, when you're looking at that thing face to face, pussy like lips. If that mouth open, you pretty much know she talked to a lot of dudes.
Bro, you're
trying to give you some game. I'm giving you some game right now. Don't judge a woman. Can't do that. That's bad because they're the most deceptive creatures on the face of the planet. She's not going to tell you that she had a DP. She's not going to tell you she had a golden shower. That's her personal business. But I will say this. As a guy, we want to know what you engaged in, woman. We want to know. So once I bat you in the face with this meat, you won't look at me crazy.
Oh, brother, you are killing me.
Hey, listen, man. Listen, we want to know that, but we don't want to disrespect the woman at the same place, at the same time. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to be easy. You want to be a gentleman like we are. You understand me? But they are discreet. They're very discreet. They're very discreet. They want a guy who's going to accept them for who they are and what they can do. That's what they want. They don't want, you know, some guy who's going to judge them. Yes, she want to suck your dick. She want to gag the dick. Women from New Orleans, they don't suck dick. They gag dick. Not all of them. They gag the dick. But they don't want you waking up the next morning, you know, questioning her about what she did.
Now, here's why I'm in agreement with you, and Renee, I'm probably in agreement with you. This is what I don't like, even as a man, is when you say, meet a woman at a club, you hot on her trail, you want her to give you some pussy, and then when she's nice enough to give you some pussy, you turn around and call her a hoe.
Right, that's
I'm
bad.
Critical
don't
of
do that.
I say that in my
you don't
book.
Do that.
I say
you
that in my
do
book.
That. That's bad. That's a bad thing.
That is,
might have was a hoe out there. Like quote, I'm going to say quote unquote hoe. Because no such thing as a hoe. Sex is sex. We hoes too. We fuck 100
most
women.
Most men are hoes.
Man, we hoes too, brother. We fuck 100
women. I tell women
that
all the time because women will say, well, you men, y'all don't get called hoes. I said, no, that's not true. Men get called hoes all the time.
Right,
it's
right.
Just that we don't have the same sensitivity to that label that a woman
brother,
does.
Brother Allen, you are definitely right. And I'm telling you right now, it's just the stigma that attached to the female organ.
Because I'm going to tell you, Curtis, this is going to trip you out. It hurt me at the time, but I laughed about it later. But my own late mother, just this oversized, my own late mother one time back, when I was in my mid-20s, she saw that I was hooking up with, at the time, I was hooking up probably with like 2 to 3 different women a week, every week. And she just pulled me aside. She says, son, you're making me shake my head. I said, why? She said, I never thought my baby boy would just grow up and spread his seed and be a damn hoe.
And look, that's
she
how,
called,
that's
my
how,
mother called me a hoe.
That's how a mature woman look at that. She been places and she know what's up. Just like a mature man, look at his young daughter and be like, well, goddamn, you just giving it away. Don't you know a wet pussy and a dry purse don't match? You understand me? I'm calling from New Orleans, this Curtis.
Hey,
I love
man,
your
I appreciate
show, man.
You
I
calling
love your
in,
show.
Man. You was an OG for sure, brother, man. Much love to you.
But I'm just trying to tell you, man, pussy is pussy. You understand me? And the only reason why I smell a little different because of the perfume. Now, listen to me.
Hey, Curtis, I got to wrap up, so you got like 10 seconds to tell me one more thing.
Okay, one more thing. You can't judge the women, man. Sex is sex. If they want to fuck, let them fuck. Don't discourage them. Please don't do that, because we're going to run out of pussy.
All right, brother, man. I appreciate you. But, yeah, I got to say what Curtis said. I do say this. If you read my book, I got, for those that don't know, I got 3 paperbacks. Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. My second paperback is called Upfront and Straightforward, Let the Manipulative Game Players Know What You're Really Thinking. And third is my latest book is called Ooh, Say It Again, Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction and Oral Sex, not O-R-A-L, but A-U-R-A-L. And one of the things I say in my third paperback, where I am critical of men, don't chase a woman to sleep with you, and then when she sleep with you, you turn around and just quickly call her a hoe or slut. That's fucked up. Even I as a man will say, that's fucked up. I don't do that shit. My attitude is, if you want a woman to give you some pussy, let her give you some pussy and enjoy it, and then, you know, move on. I ain't saying you got to be obligated to date her or give her flowers or marry her, but you don't need to turn around and call her no names. But the women I am critical of, again, I'm all about honesty. I'm all about upfront, straightforward honesty. I believe if a man asks you a question, you should give him an honest answer, and then you just let things unfold from there. I don't like liars. I don't like pretenders. Those are two types. There's two types of people in the dating world I don't like. I don't like people who blatantly lie to you. And I don't like people who present themselves as one type of person when they're actually another type of person. I don't like that. That's just me. I don't like it. Area code 503, you're now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest co-host, Renee Moore. For the essence of time, what's your strongest opinion about this subject?
This is Crystal in Portland. My strongest thing is that I think you should be honest because...
But first, Crystal, I'm glad you called in. I know you're
the
patient, baby.
Yeah, this is me.
I'm so thankful you called. Listeners, this is my new friend on Twitter. We've been talking on Twitter, and she helped me hype up this show. So much love and respect to her. She's fine. She's a fine, sexy-ass sister, boy. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to put that in.
Thank you. This has been really entertaining, by the way. I think it's important to always be really honest because I don't ever want to be with someone that doesn't love me for who I am, and so... If I don't feel like I have a lot that I'm really ashamed to tell someone, but I wouldn't just tell anyone. But I don't want to always think, well, what if I had told him that, then what would have happened? And on the same token, I feel like if it's hard to know that there are things that you could tell someone where they might say, oh, well, that's not cool with me. So I agree with Renee on that regard, but for me personally, I put it out there. I don't really volunteer everything, but if I'm asked a question, I'll tell it. But
and see, that's the way it should be. That's what.
Yeah, if they're
going to judge
me, I
want to know. But I've always said, both tonight as well as on other episodes, I don't encourage any woman to just arbitrarily just start volunteering shit. You just come home from work one day and say, "Hey, honey, I just feel compelled to tell you." That there was 2 guys on the college basketball team. I sucked that dick the same night. I just wanted to tell you that. Now, you don't do that shit. You just don't come home and tell your new boyfriend that shit.
But Alan, what you're also saying at the same time is if you just gave the example earlier, you go to a party and then 2 guys come up to you and they tell you about your girl. Maybe I haven't even been dating you 2 months. We're just going out. I don't
That's
know why
true.
I would tell you that information. It's been something that happened. I was in college. Why would
right.
I tell
what
you
if you
that
never asked that?
And you never asked that. Now it comes out. Now you're telling me you don't want to be with me because I had a threesome when I was 22.
I'm giving you. This is what I do, Crystal.
That's a good question.
Whether it's valid or invalid or right or wrong, fair, unfair, I try to give it to my listeners real. And I'm not saying that scenario is necessarily, say, right or fair, but what I am saying is that's a very real scenario because I've seen it happen. I've literally seen that happen. I mean, I've seen guys get really fucked up, actually.
But how are you going to be upset with her when you haven't been dating her long enough, or, like many guys, you're not looking for a relationship. You're just kind of kicking it. Now you go out and find out something, and you're mad because she didn't tell you that information. Why would
you? Oh, yeah, I agree with that. If a man, you're just kicking it with a woman, you shouldn't be mad about shit. I'll bitch slap a guy if he going to get mad. And he just casually kicking it with a woman. He get mad. That's one thing. When I'm casually kicking it with a woman,
happens.
I don't ask her nothing about her past.
But that
I don't
happens,
ask nothing.
Alan.
What's that?
That happens a lot. A couple,
it does
month,
happen.
I asked a question on Facebook last month. I asked the question, if you're seeing a woman and you start to like her, you're not dating. You're not in an exclusive relationship because as many men today are, I'm not looking for anything. I'm not looking for anything serious is what you hear a lot. So you're not looking for anything serious. You're dating this woman, and then you find out. She doesn't tell you because you're not in a serious relationship that she's also casually dating two other people. 190 comments I got on that, and only two said they would not feel differently. The rest of them were like, oh, no, I feel totally differently if I found out she was casually dating two other people. You're casually dating her. How are you upset that she's casually dating when you're not committed to her?
I'm on your side. I'm totally on your side on that one.
And that's why I don't say anything. You can't be honest with a man who's going to tell you, I'm going to fuck other women, but I don't want you fucking other men. And I'm going to feel differently if I find out you are, even though I'm not going to commit to you. What the hell? Are you serious?
But still, I don't think that's an excuse for a woman to lie. What you do is you identify those types. You identify those types, those hypocritical types like that, and you quickly leave their ass alone.
I
agree with that. But if you're dating, if you don't even know that that's a problem until it all busts out in your face, you're dating this guy. He tells you up front, I'm not looking for anything serious. Okay, well, I'm going to date some other people too. Now all of a sudden he feels some kind of way because you're seeing somebody else? What is that?
No, well, again, you ain't going to get no disagreement from me. I tell men
so
that all the time in my career as a dating coach and a book author. I say, man, if you're casually kicking it with a woman, then just enjoy the experience of the time she allows you to spend with her. And then when it's time for you to go your separate and she goes separate, you just do it. But you don't pass no judgments on no woman you kicking it with. That's one thing I can honestly say. I've never done that. I mean, when I kick it with women, I don't care what they do. I don't care if they suck the dick before 2 hours before they came to my place and they going to suck another dick 2 hours after they leave. As long as they suck my dick really, really good, and it got to be really, really good. Otherwise, I'm going to talk about it like a dog. But they suck my dick really good. I'm happy. Now, if it's my girlfriend and she sucked the dick 2 hours before she sucked my dick and she going, then, yeah, I got a problem. But, yeah, so those are fools. I don't defend those guys. That's just immaturity and insecurity at work. But I got to move on. Crystal, you got anything real quickly you want to add?
Just don't ask any questions you wouldn't answer yourself.
Oh, good rule. I agree with that. Well, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you listening to my show. Now, is it Crystal or Crystal?
Crystal,
okay. Thank you, Crystal.
Thanks. Bye.
510-510. You're now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your strongest opinion on this topic?
Well, I just agree with a lot of the women callers and some of what you say in terms of questions being posed. I really don't think that it's any of the man's business about the woman's sexual past. She chooses to reveal that. That's on her. And if he insists, then that sends red flags about him because there's something not trustworthy about him if he's overly concerned about that. One thing that's become clear is that a lot of this appears that women's sexual behavior is being dictated by men's insecurities, which is real crazy. So, I mean, you know, if they sleep around, they're hoes. If they don't sleep around, they don't know what they're doing. You know, it's just ridiculous.
What's your first name?
He's This is Marcia.
Marcia, could you hold on one second, Marcia? I got to interject this real quick, and I'm going to let you continue. Listeners, Blog Talk Radio is such that the absolute longest they will let you do a show is 3 hours. So I got a feeling this might at least slightly go over the three-hour mark. If it does, you might want to call in right now, 646-478-5710. That way you'll be able to hear, because if it goes over 3 hours, I might still stay on the phone line. I'll be talking, and you'll be able to hear the show. But if you're in the chat room and you're just listening, then it's going to cut off. It's going to cut off at the three-hour mark. So I just wanted to give you that quick warning. At the three-hour mark, if you're listening to the show through the chat room, it's going to cut off. So if you want to listen to it for so many minutes past the three-hour mark, you got to call in, and you'll be able to listen to me talk to whoever calls in. So it's 646-478-5710. Okay, Marcia, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, like I was saying, it just seems like a lot of this male, you know, women's sexuality is being dictated by men's insecurities. It's just a, you know.
Well, that's what I was talking about when I was talking about Chasing Amy. That's what I loved about that movie. Number one, it's a really good movie. But, and again, listeners, I apologize for giving a movie spoil. I'm telling you some of the plot lines if you haven't seen it. But towards the end of the movie, that's, yeah, what you're basically saying, that's what Kevin Smith, his character in the movie, says. He says at least half the reason why most guys don't like it when women have been promiscuous is not because it lowers, say, lowers their looks or lowers their sex appeal or lowers their sense of humor or their intelligence. They might still be attracted to this woman, but if that changes at least one thing, he said, it makes them feel like they'll never be that woman's best dick. They could be, but there's a greater chance that they won't be. And he said, most men's egotistical insecurities can't handle that. That's why a lot of men, but see, in reality, I'm going to break it down to men. You could meet a woman like Marcia. I could meet you, and you could have only slept with, say, before me, four different men. And mm-hmm. I might meet you and sleep with you. Now, I could, on one end, I could fuck you, and I might, you might say, damn, Alan is the best fuck I've ever had out of the five guys I've been with. On the other end, you might say, Alan is number five. Now, you could, I could meet you, and you could have slept with 39 men, and I'm number 40, and I can end up being number one of 40. So I could be number five of five, or I could be number one of four. You just never know. As a man, you never know where you're going to rank on a woman's scale. But anyway, going back to your point of insecurity, yes, that's a valid remark, and that's, again, what Kevin Smith was saying, is that most men, they're scared that they think in their mind, the higher your numbers are, the less likely I am of being your best dick. But then the secondary reason I also said that I think is a little more valid, a lot of men don't want to be with a woman who they think is going to have a high likelihood of cheating on them. I mean, that goes for both men and women. Nobody wants to be in a relationship if they think there's a high chance that that person's going to cheat on them. That's just plain and simple. Here's where
so if
the
he's
point...
going to be honest, then he should just say that instead of labeling her a hoe. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're going to be honest, then just be honest. I'm afraid that if you have high enough numbers that, you know, I may not rank up in the top three. In fact, I want to be number one dude. I'm afraid that if you have slept with a lot of men, that you're more likely to continue to sleep with other men. I'm afraid that... whatever. But see, but he turns around and labels the woman a hoe. He's hypercritical. He's judgmental unfairly. And it's all due to his own insecurities. That's bullshit.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. But see, here's why I'm attacking women, though. My thing is this. If you're a woman, and let's say you have slept with 40 guys, why do you want to give a guy the misleading impression that you've only slept with five? Why do you want to give...
You know, all he needs to worry about, if he's so concerned, all he needs to worry about is that she's STD-free and HIV-free, and they can go to the clinic together and get tested. Next.
Well, in an ideal world, what you said might be true, But in the real world, which is what I try to deal with, I'm going to tell you right now, most guys, and I'm doing some loose generalization here, but I'm basing this on a lot of conversations I've had with men. If a guy's been with 80 women and you've been with 40 men, there's a good chance he ain't going to trip. If a guy's been with 10 women and you've been with 40 men, that guy's going to trip. I'm telling you. That's how most guys are. Most guys do not want to be with a woman that's been with more men than they've been with women. This is based on last 20, 25 years of talking to men. Men do not want to do that.
Why is that? I don't understand that.
They just don't. I mean, I don't know if I got necessarily a really specific or valid explanation, but I just know since I'm going all the way back to high school days, up until now, most men, when we do, say, our locker room talk or our football game party talk, most men will say, they say, man, I ain't trying to be with no woman that been with more dudes than I've been with women. I ain't trying to do
but
that.
Is it that ego think he can't? I mean, I don't get it. I mean,
he can't be number one. The more men you have, the less his chance I'll be number one.
You have exceptions. And Tom Lakers always talks about it. I don't know if you're familiar with Tom Lakers. He's another radio show host. He always emphasize that he doesn't like to deal with exceptions, and actually, I generally don't either. Now, you have exceptions like, I know porno stars who are married. There are female porno stars who are actually married. There are strippers who are married. There are women, some call girls are even married. So, you have some guys out there that don't mind that shit. Like you, Renee, you were talking about how you got a friend who said he don't like low body count because he probably thinks they're going to be inexperienced. I know some guys like that. Now, those guys, honestly, are in the minority, but I do know some guys that are like, dude, I don't want to date no woman that's only been with two or three guys. That means she probably a prude and she probably can't fuck. I want a woman with some experience. But I'm speaking more so for the guys who are in the majority based on my last, say, 25 years of interacting with men and conversing with men and listening to their opinions, most guys, they don't want to be with a woman who got higher numbers than them. Now, I personally, again, I don't want to interject this on my own personal things, but I've never been a number. I rarely have ever asked a woman, hey, how many men have you been with? Here's what I care about, and I'll say a lot of men care about this. This is where I do care about who you slept with. If you used to fuck somebody that you still in communication with, Alan Roger Curry cares about that shit. Like, say you used to fuck your boss, and say y'all stopped fucking 3 years ago, but you still working for him and y'all still in communication. I want to know that shit. I want to know that you used to fuck your boss. I don't want to be blindsided by somebody else telling me that shit. I want you to say, Alan, I got to tell you, the guy I worked for, Leon, my boss, me and him used to be intimate about 5 years ago, but we stopped about 3 years ago. Now, I hope you're cool with that, but if you're not, you know, let's talk about it. That's the type of conversation I'm going to want to have. Or if she says, you know, that one frat brother you hang around with all the time, Alan, I got to tell you, about 6 years ago, me and him used to fuck. We stopped fucking a few years ago, but I wanted to let you know that because he might end up telling you that. That's the conversation I want to have. So, yeah, if you used to fuck guys that I'm real cool with or you used to fuck guys that you're still in communication with, me, Alan Roger Curry, I want to know that shit, and I would say a good number of guys I know want to know that. Now, if you fucked Leon and JoJo 15 years ago, you ain't talked to him in 10 years, and I don't need to know about that shit. I ain't going to ask you about that shit. I don't care. I don't care about that. But, yeah, if you're still in contact with Leon and JoJo, yeah, I want to know. I want to know. I want you to say, yeah, you know, these two guys who you always see leaving messages on my Facebook page, yeah, I used to fuck them.
When is she supposed to tell you that?
You said what?
When is she supposed to tell you that?
When I ask her? I don't expect any woman to tell me something that I don't ask. So
okay.
I never expect a woman to just arbitrarily tell me stuff. And I never hold it against a woman. If a woman didn't tell me something that I didn't ask her, I can't think of no other man. For me, I don't hold that against her. But if I ask you something, like using that boss example again, if I'm dating you, Renee, and I say, hey, Renee, I notice that you and your boss sometimes are a little flirty. Did you used to fuck him? And you say no, and then 6 months later you go, okay, Alan, I'm sorry, I lied to you. We did used to fuck. I used to suck his dick all the time on my lunch hour. Say, I'm going to be like, okay, Renee, it was cool. We had a great relationship. I'm outie. Because I asked
you
specifically, did you fuck your
boss? I'm not advocating lying. I'm not advocating lying. That's not my stance. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that because a lot of women do advocate lying. Matter of fact, the last time I did a show similar to this, a lot of women came on my Facebook page advocating lying. Matter of fact, there's one in particular, Renee. You know the name I'm thinking of. I ain't going to say her name. She's a Blog Talk Radio host. That's exactly what she advocated. She said, I think women should lie. I think women should just flat out lie about their sexual behavior. And see, that's where I get most critical. That I think that is fucked up. I don't think a woman should ever lie about shit to do with her sexual past. Again, if a guy don't ask you, then yeah, you that's when you got a green light to keep shit to yourself. But if a guy asks you a specific question, did you fuck my cousin? Did you fuck my coworker? Are you fucking your boss or did you used to fuck your boss? You should tell him the truth. Anyway, Marsha, I got to move on. Thank you so much. Did you have any quick 10-second comment you wanted to add?
No, It's just amazing to me how men, you know, they want the truth so much when they lie, you know, quite a bit, it seems. And they're not forthcoming with a lot of truth.
Well, you know, as a man, I got to be honest, Marsh, I feel the same way. So me and you going to have different attitudes here. I know you speaking from the woman's perspective. But, see, I know a lot of women who would tell me, why can't men be honest? Why can't men be honest? Then I say, okay, I want to put my dick in your mouth.
Oh, why you gotta say it like that? Why you gotta just tell me you wanna put?
I'm like, what? You can't handle honesty?
No, I mean there is such a thing as having, you know, some class and not being crude.
Oh, sorry. No. What's the classy way that I need to tell you I want to put my dick in your mouth?
I mean, some things don't have to be said. You know,
see, there you go. You were just
talking
about honesty,
I mean, you know,
but now you're saying some things don't have to be said. So I can just magically, just my dick can find its way in your mouth without me saying anything or you saying anything.
Mm-mm.
See, that's funny to me, Marsh. But I appreciate you calling in. Area code 678. 678, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Kurt. Wait, let me open up your mic. Okay, yeah. Alan Roger Kurt, who am I talking to?
Mode 1.
Oh, shit. Listeners, if you knew the Blog Talk Radio, you wouldn't know this voice. But if you're a veteran, you know this smooth, seductive voice you listen to. This is the Lavologist. Used to have a very popular show right here on Blog Talk Radio that came on Sunday evenings. And, he used to rock the house and have some very interesting topics. And a whole bunch of chat room listeners. How are you, brother?
Man, if I was any better, I'd be twins.
It's good to hear your voice, man. So, I know you didn't start at the beginning, but you've been listening to a good amount of the show. What's your thoughts on a woman sharing details? Well, the main question of the show has been, what details, if any, should a woman share with a new boyfriend about her sexual past? What's your thought?
Well, I'm going to preface it with this first. The last time I did a show, I couldn't say fuck, damn, shit, pussy, dick, and all that good shit. So So it's good to be able to let loose. In my opinion, why does it matter? Why does a number matter? You know, there are a lot of women out there who have gone to college, you know, that's their first freedom, they leave home and all that good stuff. and they probably slept with a whole bunch of guys. But with every single person, with every single man, if you ask that question, the number is different. Now, for me, being as a promiscuous person that I've been in my past, to me, something like that don't matter, okay? Mm-hmm. Whereas somebody who's a man who slept with, let's say, seven women in his life probably don't want to hear that she slept with 15, 20, 30 women. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that the case? You had mentioned it earlier, and I'm going to break it down like this. A man really doesn't want to, at least there are some men out there who don't want to envision his woman with 30 dicks up in her. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. And because of that, that where that happens, then unfortunately the woman who has slept with 30 or 40 or 50 men, you know, she's kind of assed out with the man who slept with less women. So I guess the answer to the question, it's really relative to the person who's asking the question or who is answering the question for that matter. Me personally, I can care less. You know, you could have slept with 60, 70 guys. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that's your character today. And I think that's what's more important more than anything is that a woman who slept with 20 men in 1 year 5 years ago isn't the same woman who is the woman you're probably looking at today. And you might have just walked past a good catch because of you feeling of the fact that you're feeling that, oh, well, she slept with a lot of men. I don't want to be bothered with her. The only thing that really matters, in my opinion, is that is her pussy dripping?
that's always the most important.
Is there some sort of unsightly discharge or something like that? Other than that, man, you know, hey, let's have at it. She could be, you know, the one for me.
Yeah.
That's
okay. Well, I'm gonna ask you this tough question, love, and see how you take this. One thing I'm critical of, because in many ways, I agree with a lot of what you said. I've gotten to a point where I just, like I told these women, I rarely have ever asked a woman about numbers and whatnot. But let's say you did meet a woman and say, I don't know, slept with 75 guys. And y'all having a conversation where you kind of exchanging stories, you telling her about your best threesome or something. And she gives you the impression that she's only slept with 5 to 10 guys. And then you find out later, though, she has actually slept with, say, roughly 75 guys. Are you going to be forgiving about that, or are you going to be pissed that she misrepresented herself and lied to you?
Well, it depends. I mean, did I ask the question?
Okay.
And if I asked the question and she misrepresented herself, yeah, I'd be pissed off.
Okay.
If she came off like, oh, well, I've only been with, you know, X amount and it's actually times 10, then, yeah, I'd be pissed off. You shouldn't have to misrepresent yourself. You shouldn't have to lie. Because the reality of the situation is that if a woman has slept with 75 men, you know what? She should be proud of who she is. It is what it is.
See, my main point on the head. That's my main point with women is that I tell women, hey, if you are kinky or if you are promiscuous or if you have done some freaky shit, own it. Own it. I'm just very myself. I'm very critical of women who either lie about stuff or give a misleading impression about themselves. That's my only two major criticisms to do with this issue. But if a woman is, you know, because I've met women like that. I've met women who say, yeah, you know, Alan, I've had my share of great sex with a lot of different motherfuckers, and I ain't going to apologize for it. And they'll look at me like, either you ready to deal with me on that level or you not.
But
see, that's what I have respect for a woman. I don't have no disrespect for a woman who owns her sexuality. But a lot of women, and I think you'd be willing to agree with me here, there's a lot of women out here that are not like that. There's a good number that are like that, but there's another good number of women that they're not willing to own their sexuality.
Well, see, here's part of the issue, and this is actually going into something that's totally deeper that isn't even a part of the show, and I'm pretty sure it hasn't been mentioned as of yet. See, when a man asks if a woman's been with how many men that she's been with, and she gives her number, let's say it's 35, all right, then at that point, if that number turns him off, then a lot of people don't know the backstory to that. Okay, I mean, there are a lot of people out here who are overly promiscuous because of the fact of some childhood trauma, whether it be molestation or something like that, and, you know, that was their way of, you know, cleansing themselves, if you will, all right? That was their way of acting out. So a lot of people really need to know the backstory behind, you know, why they slept with so many people. You know, hey, I mean, there's a woman I know who slept with, I think she said her number was like 85 or something like that. But, you know, she got molested when she was 13. You know, so, I mean, you can't put something against somebody if they've dealt with that type of trauma in their lives. And I think that a lot of people aren't really good in investigating the person that they're with. And to be able to ask the real questions. You know, it's not how many people that you slept with, it's why did you sleep with that many people? Was you like dick?
Well, that's a good point.
Or is
and,
there another side of the story?
I would agree with that point you made, because, yeah, again, like, I can't think of a time that I've just randomly asked a woman how many men you sleep, because for me, if it's not related to a point, I don't care. Like, one of the things I tend to ask is, among other things, I like to know a woman's experiences, and that's not so I can judge them. I like to know if a woman has experienced some of the same shit I have. Because a lot of times I think that means we're going to have better sex than she has.
Exactly. The difference is, it's that, you know, if you ask a woman about her experience and you ask a woman how many sex partners she has, it's two totally different things.
Oh, I agree.
A woman can be hellified experienced, and she's only slept with 5 guys. Okay, I mean, 5 partners, you know, probably wore that ass out, you know, so she knows a lot of things. Whereas a person who slept with, let's say, 30 or 40 individuals might not have, like, let's say, that same experience. So, I mean, it's all relative, you know. I think, who was that guy that you had on earlier where you know, you just kind of look at it and you can kind of tell? But to be honest with you, you know, if a woman slept with 2 guys and both of them are 14 inches, damn, she's going to look like that she didn't slept with about 30 guys.
Oh, that was that guy from New Orleans. He said you could just look at a woman's pussy and tell
that
she's been around the block.
That's old school right there, boy.
Yeah, he was cracking me up, man.
Yeah, he's dying. So that was basically my whole comment on it. You know, people have to know the backstory and what's really truly going on with that person. And, you know, if that number turns you off, hey, it is what it is. Move on. That ain't the last person you're going to run into in life.
Exactly.
How can you trip out on one person when there are a billion people out here you can screw?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And see, this leads to what I keep telling women over and over again. I ask women, my thing is, if you're a woman, why would you want to be with a guy who's egotistically insecure and judgmental?
Yeah, no shit.
Instead of trying to, it's like a lot of women want to try to prevent that side of them from coming out, but I'm saying, no, let that side come out so you can run away from it.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm a woman, I want to see that side. I want to know that a guy's insecure or very judgmental, because you know, love, that relationship in the long run ain't going to work.
It ain't going to work, and not only that, as a woman, you should be not only proud about your number, but you should want a man who is probably just experienced as you are so that there are no hang-ups. You know, leave that guy alone who, you know, has a hang-up on your number 7. Leave him alone.
Exactly.
Who cares?
There you go. That's what I'm talking about, brother. Well, hey, man, I got a few more people on the call, but
yeah,
I really love the fact that you called into my show, man. I ain't seen you in a long time in Blog Talk Radio land, and I will definitely be in contact with you, man, and I know a lot of your fans miss you, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe one day I'll, going ahead and make that comeback. You know, if it's going to be comeback, it's going to be live. So, you know, I ain't going to do anything less than that.
I know that's right. And real quickly, before I let you go, tell listeners about your, you have like an online magazine, right?
Yeah, it's actually a digital magazine.
Digital magazine, I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me explain to you what the digital magazine is. It's actually, if you go to the supermarket and you pick up a Good Housekeeping, okay, it's the exact same thing, except you can read it off of your computer, read it off your laptop, your tablet, or your cell phone. Now, I'm not talking about the cheap old Metro phones, okay? I'm talking about, you know, if you have an iPhone, smartphone, or anything like that, Android-based or anything like that. And you can actually flip the pages. And Love and Relationships is actually has now 30 writers. And that's basically the project that I'm working on now. It's part of the reason why I kind of dipped from the Blog Talk Radio scene.
Oh, I understand.
But they have 30 writers. Love and Relationships has 30 writers. And so these writers basically contribute to the magazine. And, man, it's been a hell of a lot of fun. So it's basically a magazine that is based on love, life, sex, relationships, you know, anything, career, all that good stuff. Magazine's been out now for 6 months, and it's actually doing pretty well.
All right. Well, good to hear, man. Well, listeners, keep up with Loveologist, his digital magazine. I sure will, brother. Again, thank you for calling
in. Tell him, you can find the magazine at loveandrelationships.com. That's L-U-V and relationships.com.
Great. All right, bro. Continued success to you.
All right, much love to you, Al. And, oh, hey, one last thing. Next Thursday is actually my birthday. And
really?
I saw the show that you actually have on Thursday. I'm actually going to go ahead and tune in to that one, too.
Oh, happy early birthday. Yeah, man, I'm going to have to give you a shout-out next week then.
Most definitely. Hey, you take good care of yourself, Mole One. It was good hearing, good talking to you.
All right, brother.
All right, now.
Listeners, that was the Loveologist. I'm moving on to area code 347, you're up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest co-host, Renee Moore. What's your strongest opinion about this subject tonight?
Well, it's really a good subject, but if you don't want to know, basically don't ask, because I was bouncing at this club and this girl was promoting a new porno CD, and I was like, cool. So she said, I'm bringing my friend. And I met her friend. I didn't know her friend was this big star, porno star, because I don't watch porno. I'm talking to her. I'm like, damn, you sound like you're a whore. And like, I slept with like, oh, had to be over 1,000 men. I was like, wow, for real? You know, so this all depends on who you want to talk to. And you know, it's weird, but you can't, you know, when it comes down to it, you're not sleeping with every one of them, even though technically you are, so you can't judge. But it is what it is. And another question, how would I donate money to your show?
Wow. I appreciate you asking that question. I mean, I don't think I've ever taken a donation, but dang, just the fact that you would ask that question, man, warms my heart, man. So much love to you. What's your first name?
Tyshaw.
Okay. Well, thank you, man. No, I say the indirect way to donate to my show is if you don't have my books, I would appreciate you picking up one or more of my free paperbacks.
Yeah, you
paperback.
Say something about books. How would I get your books? How would I buy your books?
Go to mode1.net, MODEONE.net,
yeah.
Or you can go to Amazon.com and put in Alan Roger Curry, A-L-A-N, Roger, C-U-R-R-I-E, and I got three paperbacks. One is called Mold One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. The second book is called Upfront and Straightforward, just like the title of this show. Upfront and Straightforward, Let the Manipulative Game Players Know What You're Really Thinking. And then my third and latest paperback is called Ooh, Say It Again, Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction and Oral Sex. Not O-R-A-L, but A-U-R-A-L sex. So those are my three paperbacks. Yeah, man, check me out, man. I break down a lot of knowledge in those books. The general theme of pretty much all my books is about, I'm all about upfront, straightforward honesty when it comes to your desires, your interests, and your intentions. And I'm all about avoiding what I call manipulative head games. I'm not a fan of guys employing manipulative head games with women, and I'm not a fan of women employing manipulative head games with men. I'm all about just laying everything out on the table. You say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I want from you. You know, are you cool with that? And then you move forward. So, but, hey, I appreciate you calling in, man, and I appreciate you asking me that question.
No problem.
All righty. Area code 239. 239. You're now up front and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry and my guest co-host, Renee Moore. What's your strongest opinion on this subject?
Oh, my strongest opinion is I mean, you're. I guess I'm resigned to the fact that, you know, even if you ask a woman anything like that type of question, you're really not going to get an honest answer unless you, you know, harass them about it. But the only thing I don't like is you know, at least give me a choice if I'm going to be a Captain Save-A-Ho, you know. if at least give me a choice, you know. And like, you know, and I fight with women about this all the time. They try to marginalize a lot of stuff. You know, sleeping with a dude every other week or whatever, a new dude, I mean, you got to call an ace, a spade, you're a hoe. You know, just like they try to say that, you know, men, you know, you can't change a tiger stripes. You know, I mean, at least let me know. That way I won't put you in a situation where your hoe going to come out, you know? You know what I'm saying? If I mean, that's all I'm saying. If your sexual appetite is abnormal, you should let someone, I mean, like, if, especially if the person is trying to wipe you up, you should kind of give them the idea, you know, instead of, like, waiting down the road where, you know, you're in too deep. That's the thing I don't like, you know, and I don't agree with guys having to harass women about, you know, how many guys, I mean, guys they slept with, you know, I mean, as a guy, you should kind of have an idea, you know, if she gives you the pussy the first night, you kind of have an idea that, you know, hey, you know, this is the type of person she is, but, you know, but if you're, like, I agree with what you were saying about, like, you know, women being honest. And, like, in this situation actually hit close to home. That's why I called in, you know. You know, I was messing with this girl, and you know, she gave me the ass pretty quick. So it kind of, like, you know, like, ticked off in my head, like, you know what? You know, she might be a little easy. So, and, you know, every time I, you know, kind of handed towards, you know, I didn't ask her directly, but she, you know, she always get offended, like me even, like, coming at her like that. And come to find out, you know, like, every dude that she ever mentioned, you know, I mean, I found out that, you know, she was still messing with him, like, in some way or whatever. But, you know, I guess that's my opinion on it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you. So, wait, let me get this straight, though. This last scenario, you said you met a woman.
Yeah.
And you end up fucking her pretty quick.
Yeah.
And now, was this a woman you was dealing with casually or like your boyfriend, girlfriend?
No. It was casual. It was casual, you know.
And the fact that she gave you the pussy quick, how do you feel like that negatively affected you?
Well, actually, it didn't negatively affect me because I just knew it. Like, it was good, you know, it was good.
The pussy
so
was good,
I was
wasn't
taking it? Huh? I was
you
taking
said the pussy
it for what
was good,
it was. Yeah, the pussy was good. And I never really coming in had intentions of, you know, a long-term relationship. But, you know, she was getting, you know, I guess she was getting the idea that we were going, like, further than, like, you know, just a sexual relationship. And I just kept finding out things, like, you know, just by accident, you know. She would be mentioning this guy, mentioning that guy, and then blah, blah, blah. And then you find out, you know what I'm saying, there was more to that relationship, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm, like, sitting there thinking, damn, you know what, why don't you just be up close, I mean, like, upfront and honest with me, you know what I'm saying? I might don't even give a fuck if you're still giving him some ass, as long as you give me some ass. But, you know, it was kind of like, you know, she was almost ashamed of it, you know? And I just... And I just, like, I got kind of frustrated. I was like, you know what? If I'm going to be, you know, fucking a hoe, let me, at least let me know you're a hoe, you know, instead of acting like you're something that you're, you know what I'm saying, that you're not a hoe and you trying to get me to wife you up. So, you know, I just appreciate honesty and I'm just resigned to the fact that you're probably never going to get a, you know, a real honest, like, 100% truth answer from anyone. There's always like a 50% answer, and that's what frustrates me.
Well, I feel that frustration right there. And I don't know if you heard my exchange with the young lady who was just on a few minutes ago, Marcia. She was saying that a lot of men are not honest,
yeah.
And I told her that a lot of women are not honest.
Right.
And then when I used the example of telling her I wanted to put my dick in her mouth, she said, well, some things don't need to be said. But see, this is where I have criticisms. Because this one area I run into problems with women. A lot of women will tell me that they want a man to be honest, but then when I say, okay, say you at a party and a man comes to you and he says all he wants to do, he don't want to date you, he don't want to marry you, he just wants to fuck your mouth for the next 20 minutes until he comes in your mouth and then he don't want shit else to do with you. Of course, most women say, oh, that would just be disrespectful and that would be inappropriate on all sorts of levels. I'm like, what? It's honest, ain't it? Or would you rather a man say, hey, you are so beautiful, I would love to marry you, and I would love for you to have my children, and I bet you have great intelligence, and he tells you all this bullshit, but when it comes down to it, once he gets his dick in your mouth and comes in your mouth, you never hear from him again.
Yeah.
You know? And this is where I call a lot of women out. They'll say they want honesty, and there's some who do. There's some who do, so I give those women credit. But there's a large number of women who will be on Oprah and all these other shows, and they'll say they want honest, but they really don't. They really don't. They don't want to give guys the green light. Because I'm telling you, if women as a group was to say, we're going to give men a green light to just be 100% blunt honest about all their thoughts, trust me, guys will be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I'm already that way. I don't even wait for a green light. I tell women straight up, if I just want to fuck a woman, I tell women that. I say, hey, I just want to fuck you. I ain't trying to date you. I ain't trying to have no long-term monogamous relationship. I want to fuck you doggy style. I want to make you come so you'll be motivated to make me come. And then after so many days, so many weeks, so many months, whatever, we go our separate ways.
Yeah,
and if they can't handle that type of honesty, fuck them.
That's a great point you made. You know, and it always makes me think of, like, you know, the two thresholds of honesty, the honesty of a man and the honesty of a woman. You know, like, and you can't really, I mean, it's the truth, I guess, has to be said different ways. You know, like, for instance, if you're with your girl and another woman comes around and you guys are kind of flirty or whatever, and if you were honest with your woman and said, hey, you know what? 5 years ago, I fucked her, you know, that's probably, in her book, that's just unacceptable. But in her book, if that same scenario came out and, like, a dude came around, like, and, you know, she would expect you to be okay with you with you knowing that she slept with that guy, if that made any sense. Did that make any sense?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? If you can't handle... Like you're less of a man, you can't handle that, but she's not less of a woman because she can't handle the truth, you know?
Oh, yeah, a lot of women are hypocritical in that regard.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. A lot of women, yeah, you know, don't get me started because that would be another two-hour show. But, no, I'll say this final point about this whole honesty tip. A lot of women, I tell women all the time, a lot of women, they say they don't want to deal with liars. But a lot of women, by their own behavior and their own comments, they set men up to be liars. And here's an example. Going back to my example about being straightforward about casual sex. If you tell men, I don't want you to come up to me and tell me that you just want to fuck me. I don't want you to come up to me and tell me that you just want me to suck your dick. I want you to treat me like a respectable woman and all this stuff. Right then and there, you're asking a man to lie to you. Why?
Yep.
Because not all men are looking for a long-term monogamous relationship. So if you tell a man that, he's going to immediately say to himself, okay, this woman wants to hear some pleasant bullshit. and I'm going to give her some pleasant bullshit. I'm going to tell her how I dream of being married. I'm going to tell her how I watch a lot of romantic comedies, and it makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. And I'm going to tell her basically everything she wants to hear. But as soon as I tap that ass for X number of days, X number of weeks, I'm going to leave her ass alone. I'm never going to call her. I'm never going to email her. And then the woman's going to be like, dang, why did he pretend like he cared about me when he just wanted to ask? Because you asked him to lie to your ass. You asked him to. When you prevented him from being honest about his real desires, you asked him to lie to you and play games with you. This is what I tell women. This is what I tell women to do. I tell women, allow a man to say whatever is on his mind and whatever is in his heart. If that is that he just wants to fuck you or he wants to just put his dick in your mouth, allow him to say that. And this is what a woman should say. After he says whatever he says, even if you don't have a desire to reciprocate his desires, interests, and intentions, you say, I appreciate your honesty, but I have to let you know at this time in my life or at this where I'm at right now, you know, your desire to do XYZ is not in line with what I want out of a relationship, and therefore, you know, I got to let you know I'm not willing to reciprocate your desires, but I do want to let you know that I appreciate your honesty. That's what I tell women to say, some variation of that. Because when you agree that if a woman lets you know that she appreciates you being honest, you're going to be more motivated to be honest. But if you feel like you're going to be penalized for being honest, you ain't going to be honest.
Yeah, you're making some great, great, great points, man.
I appreciate you saying that, man. That's real talk. All right, brother, man, I thank you for calling into my show. Renee, you've been kind of quiet. What do you got to say?
I don't have anything left to
Renee,
say.
Like, Alex, fuck you. Fuck you and your question answer ass. I ain't telling no man shit. Shit. If I sucked his dick last night, I ain't telling a man shit. Especially if you don't ask me, did I suck a dick last night? Fuck him. Fuck all you judgmental motherfuckers, especially you black judgmental motherfuckers, because y'all the most judgmental.
Woo! Yeah, thumbs up my feelings.
Hey, well, I'm great wrap up, baby. So I'm going to tell you, I appreciate, even though we disagreed for most of the night, although you got to acknowledge there were a lot of levels where we did agree on different things.
I never said on my show that I disagree with that. I said that I'm not going to volunteer the information. If I get a specific question asked, I'll answer, but I'm not going to volunteer that information.
Oh,
and I'm
agree.
Not going to answer how many I've been with. So we really weren't in disagreement. But I know the reason that women don't is because nobody wants to sit around being judged about who I've been with. And tonight, that's pretty much what I heard. She's a hoe. She's a slut. There's going to be some name thrown around. Even when I sleep with you on the first date, you're going to say something about me. It's too much.
This is going to be repetitive for some of the listeners. But let's say you got two guys. Okay, let me use myself. I'm one of the guys, and I don't know, let's name another guy, Raphael. And we both fuck you within 48 hours after we meet you. And Raphael calls up tennis boys and say, yeah, man, it's chick Renee, yeah, this hoe. I fucked this hoe named Renee. I fucked the shell, yeah, she ain't nothing but a big ass hoe. And I fuck you and I don't say shit. Why would you be tempted to come to me and say, Alan, what's wrong with you motherfuckers? Why y'all gonna judge a motherfucker when I ain't said shit because Raphael responded that way? You gonna take it out on me. Would you take it out? Would you be like, Alan, I got something to ask you. Why you being so fucked up? Why I gotta be a hoe? And because I'm gonna be like, I ain't said shit.
I'm not taking it out on you, but I'm listening to what's being said, and I'm just saying that's the reason why a lot of women don't. If we know we're not going to be in the marriage category or running to be the long-term girlfriend, why am I telling you that information? Because there's really nothing you're going to get from it except to judge me on it.
But I can't agree with that. Here's what I say. Number one, I always say, my brother says this too, I say there's somebody for everybody. I know that might sound too utopian or whatever, but I really believe that. I believe there's somebody for everybody. And as I mentioned in the show, I know there's porno stars who are married. There was a time when people say, ain't no way a porno star would be able to get married. There's porno stars who's married. There's strippers who are married. there's women who promiscuous past. I'm going to college. Do you know, me and my friend talk about this all the time that I went to school with. I know more women that I went to college with who were kind of pretty kinky, pretty freaky, and to one degree or another promiscuous that are now married than most of the quote-unquote good girl types. I know a lot of women who were the quote-unquote good girl types, they still single. They still single. So that shows you that it ain't just about whether you have been promiscuous or whether you haven't. I know some women who not only were promiscuous, but they were honest with their fiancés and husbands about the fact that they were promiscuous. My main point, and I'm saying ad nauseum, you should want to show a man who you really are. You should want to show a man who you... There's a guy who you know and I know. He's been on this show. You said you're familiar with him. A guy named David Wygant. He has a book called Naked. And I haven't even read the third book, but I know the premise of it. And the premise of his book is basically that. He basically believes that you should expose yourself to the highest degree to everybody you meet. And his attitude is, some people who you expose yourself to, they ain't going to like it. They probably going to judge you. They probably going to criticize you and be nitpicky. They probably going to say, you know, your left ear too big or your right foot stinks or whatever. But he says if you expose yourself, the person you do connect with is going to be somebody who really loves you and appreciates you for who you really are. Not for who they think you are, but for who you really are. And that's what I'm looking for. I will say that publicly. That's what I'm looking for, the woman that's going to love Alan Curry with warts and, you know, whatever, big-ass nose and everything. I ain't going to try to pretend like I'm somebody that I'm not in order to prevent a woman from being judgmental. I'm going to tell a woman, hey, this is who I am. I've done some kinky shit in my life. Not only in my distant past, but in my recent past, I've done some kinky, freaky shit. I've had threesomes. I've had foursomes. I've had more phone sex than one man should have been able to have. If you can't deal with that, let me know. Just don't waste my time. That's the only thing I ask women. That's my one requirement of women, is don't waste. I got my clip. I always like to play, Renee. I'm going to play it. Where is it at? Let me see. Hold on a second, listeners. There it is.
Today, you're wasting my motherfucking time.
Don't waste my motherfucking time!
That's what I'm all about. What I'm all about really comes down to that one thing that Al Pacino said in the movie Heat. That's from the movie Heat. He said, don't waste my motherfucking time. I don't want no woman wasting my I don't mind if a woman reject me. Some men can't handle rejection. Some men will tell you they can't. I've seen men. Some men, I'm not one of those. I can handle rejection very well. If I'm interested in a woman, she's not interested in me, I don't have a problem with that. What I don't like is when a woman misleads me, strings me along, and generally wastes my motherfucking time. Don't waste my motherfucking time. But anyway, back to the point I was making with you is that I don't think any woman should ever pretend to be a woman that she's not, should hide things about herself, should lie about things about herself. I believe a woman should be. Now, again, I don't think a woman should be an open book with any and everybody. I've already made that clear. If it's just a casual motherfucker, if it's a motherfucker you met at Kmart yesterday, you don't need to be an open book with that motherfucker. I was going to say the N-word. You don't need to be open book with him. But I'm talking about somebody you like starting to really gel with, somebody you developing chemistry with, somebody you either in a relationship with or you're on the verge of being in a really good relationship with. That guy, a woman should be an open book. Let him see you for all you are, strengths, weaknesses, appealing qualities, flaws. Let him make the decision. You do the same thing. You examine him thoroughly. And you say, dude, is this the guy I want? Because when you're talking about being with somebody the rest of your life, here's the thing that women need to hear. Women, when you hear this as an archive, I want you to listen to this part real clearly. Here's the thing about a lot of men. When it comes to a woman that we will fuck one time, There's a lot of women that men will fuck 1 to 3 times. I'm just keep that real. I don't ever try to lie about that to any woman. If you put a man in a room with 100 women and ask him, how many of these 100 women will you fuck 1 to 3 times, he'd probably say 95 to 100 of these women in this room. Now, when you keep getting more and more, and you ask them, well, how many of these women would you fuck 10 times, 25 times, and then you start making it more monogamous, how many of these women would you fuck 500 times monogamously, his number's going to go way the fuck down. So, like, 1 or 2. And that's to say that when you're talking about fucking one person exclusively for the rest of your life, that's a big-ass decision to make. And for a big-ass decision like that, you need to have as much information about that person that you can possibly ascertain and obtain. Because you're talking about exchanging orgasms with one person exclusively from now, ideally, until the day you die. You don't want that to be just some random person. You want that to be somebody who's the shit. Much love to you, Renee, for hanging there in there with me. I'm sorry your co-host didn't join us, but I thought a lot of your feedback was good, even the stuff you disagree with me on. Again, I always respect people who stand by their own strong opinions and don't let other people sway them. So, listeners, much love to you. The people I see in the phone queue, much love to you. Next week is my 5-year anniversary. Please join me if you can. I've been on Blog Talk Radio for 5 years. I'm celebrating next Thursday, May 31st, same time, same bat place, same bat channel. Love you all. Take care. Have a safe and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend.